everybody, to episode 45 of the RF Generation Collector Cast. Krabby, how you been?
Been good.
Are you sure?
I am sure. Busy but good.
Yeah, you want to tell everybody kind of what's going on shenanigan wise, and you got a lot on your plate.
Got the new baby. That's not super new. I think people know about that. I sold my house since last show, and we're moving to a new place.
Congratulations.
Within the same city, so it's not super, super huge, but it's still a lot of stuff to move.
Now, you are moving closer to the store. Is that the deal?
The store and my son's school and just everybody we know, basically.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, how far away from, like, the store and the school and stuff will you be now as opposed to, you know, where you're going as opposed to now?
Right now, we couldn't be further from my son's school if we tried, basically, and stayed within city limits. So it's like a 40-minute commute every day.
Wow!
And we're not a big city, so that's literally the biggest commute you can make. So it'll be like 15 minutes where we're moving.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Is it a pretty nice neighborhood? Because I know, like you said, like the store is kind of in a rougher part, maybe?
No, it was before we moved it. When we moved, we're in a nice spot now.
I got you. So old location bad, new location, nobody breaks in anymore?
Well, it still happens. It just happens like once every 6 months instead of once a month.
Oh, okay. Have you had lots of people run out with PlayStation 4s under their arms lately? Or
not lately, but just yesterday someone broke into our yard because we had a holiday last week, so our garbage didn't get picked up.
Oh, no.
And so we've been storing it in an alcove outside, and I guess someone thought we'd have some valuable garbage, so we have like paper towel and stuff like strewn all over the yard because they were digging through bags looking for something to sell or buy.
So somebody thought you were a GameStop and doing a dumpster dive. Is that it?
I guess so.
Oh, man. You had to tell them, like, I respect things. I don't just throw them out.
No, we throw stuff out all the time, but we lock our dumpsters so that they can't get to it.
Oh, I see. All right. Just throwing out Xbox 360 games or something that you don't want anymore. Is that the deal?
And Xbox 360s.
You throw whole consoles out?
Oh, that's happened. We try and take them to recycling place when we can.
Is it just red rings? Is that the problem? Or
Red rings and disc tray problems with the old ones, to the point where we just had more than we were going to deal with.
Oh, yeah. I see. So the stat got too high and you said time to let them go.
Yes, but I am trying, shameless sponsor plug.
Yeah.
Off the charts.
Yeah,
I'm sending a bunch of N64s to them as trade-in because our Canadian dollar sucks so bad right now that it's going to be profitable for me to send in these 64s to them.
Well, that's great. I mean, Chris has bought a lot of consoles off me, too. So
yeah, we had like 70 of them, so I'm like, here, take half of them, and just made a huge, huge box.
That's, yeah, I mean, shipping from Canada is probably, I mean, I know like in the U.S. he'll cover shipping over if you sell a certain amount. Did he cover shipping for you? Or?
Yeah, we talked about it, yeah.
Good, good. Well, Chris is a good guy, so I'm sure you guys worked something out that works pretty well. Are you getting some stuff back from him or just do a cash deal? Or
I haven't decided yet. Probably just a cash deal for now since it's for the store. It'll be hard to get things a price we don't have to mark up.
Yeah, no, I totally get it.
Our dollar doesn't go very far buying from the States right now, so probably just cash.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. No, that's cool. That's kind of a win-win for both you guys, right? Because
I hope so. Yeah, I hope he's happy.
Yeah. Well, I know he's probably gearing up for, I mean, he's obviously doing a lot of cons. We'll see him at Retro World.
Christmas is coming up, too.
Yeah, I think that's it, Christmas. That's usually when he starts hitting me up. Is like, hey, Chris, you got any consoles sitting around? Because it's almost Christmas. Which I totally get. Like right now, I'm kind of trying to beef up a little bit too. I think I've got about 5 NESs and 3 or 4 Super Nintendos lined up to clean and sell. So I don't do the numbers you guys do, but you know, it makes me some goofy spending money.
Yeah. Well, if we send enough stuff to him, it could turn into like a new pinball machine or something for the store.
There you go, right? I don't blame you a bit. How's the store going?
It's going good. We just had our 3rd anniversary last week.
That's crazy. That does not seem like it's been that long.
I know. It doesn't.
God, it's scary to think how long we've been doing this, but
longer than that, yeah.
I know. It's been a while. Well, as the listeners have probably noticed, you know, you don't hear Bill chiming in. It's not that he's locked away in Destiny Land or anything, but he has some in-laws over, so his normal recording space is taken over at the moment, so he can't join us. That's our master suite that we stayed in when we were at his house last year. So
very comfortable. Highly recommend it.
I'm getting there early at his place this year, so I'm taking that pull-out bed. Baby nice. Is going to be mine, I think. But we're sorry that Bill couldn't be with us. I'm sure he'll be spending his time actively shooting some nasty monster in Destiny or fighting with his in-laws or, I don't know, something like that. But I'm sure we'll have Bill back soon. But this was our show before Retro World, so I kind of wanted to have him talk a little bit about that. But I guess in the meantime, what I would just say is that Bill and I will be at Retro World Expo. That's October 15th and 16th, Wallingford, Connecticut. Come out, join us. Be happy to see you guys. Unfortunately, Krabby, you got too much going on this year, right?
Yeah, the house and the baby is making it a no-go for me this year. I'm going to try and make it out again next year, assuming it runs again. If it doesn't, I'll try and find some other reason to come out.
Yeah, I can't see why it won't. I guess things are going really well. So
I think last year he seemed pretty happy with ticket sales and stuff, so hopefully they can repeat it this year. They got some cool guests coming, so
should bring a lot of cool people down. They got a lot of the RetroWare TV guys, so like Gamester 81's going to be there.
The Game Chasers, the Historian.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, some of them is a little love, some of them is a little angst, but, you know, there's some fun people. I would like to say hi to Gamester 81. He seems like a good guy.
I'd like to get some pictures with the old Mortal Kombat actors.
Oh, yeah, because Daniel Pacina is going to be there, the guy that played a lot of them, right? Like Kano and Johnny Cage and Scorpion and Sub-Zero. And I think Anthony said that the guy that played Liu Kang is coming too, right?
He said he was trying to get him there. Yeah, I don't know if that's been confirmed or not, but hopefully.
So, yeah, those of you that are coming out, you know, be sure to say hi. If you're an RF Gen member, there is a thread on the site. So go in there, let Bill know if you're going to be around early. He's going to have a little special RF Gen meetup for folks. So if you want to get in on that before the show starts, you need to go to that thread, let him know what's going on so we can start kind of making some plans around that. But I'd say just check out the website, you know, Retro World Expo, really easy to find. I would really love to see everybody. Make sure you stop by and say hello if you get a chance. We're not doing a panel this year. Krabby's not going to be here, but there'll be a bunch of other great panels. And so you don't really want to listen to us enough, right? But definitely go to the auction. They're doing the auction again this year. Last year that was pretty great, wasn't it?
That was fun to both be a part of and to watch.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try to, whatever money I have, probably not a lot this year due to some other things, but I think I'm going to try to squirrel my money away for maybe the auction. I want to see what happens in there. I'll get a sneak peek, but
there were some good deals we had, some really cool items that you don't see every day. What did they have? Like the NES Sharp TV, of course.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Right? Which you thankfully helped me out with that one.
The Flintstones Surprise at Dinosaur Peak.
They did, which Rich really needed that one. But he also got Panic Restaurant.
There
were some arcade machines.
Yeah, arcade machines. They had a lot of cool NES games. They had like a Tournament Fighters, Bucky O'Hare. Chippendales 2 boxed. Yeah.
Uh-huh. There was like a complete boxed, like an Apple IIc, I think.
Yeah, with a bunch of accessories too.
Yeah, that went for a pretty doggone good price. So I don't know what's going to be there this year at the auction, but I think a lot of people didn't go last year, and I think that made for some great deals. So if you're listening to this, make sure you stick around for the auction. There's going to be a karaoke party, I think Saturday night. So hang around for that in the evening. I think there might be an additional charge for that, but take a look. See if you can hang out with that. I'd love to see some people do some singing. So
you can see Duke do his best Journey impression.
I can get up and make a fool out of myself. I don't, you know, I don't drink, but I can still just be stupid just for free.
But I can act like I do.
That's right. And everybody else will be drunk, so they won't remember what I do. So that's fine. But yeah, please, I would love to see everybody that we can. I know we've got a good group of RF Jenners coming out. Crap, I'm going to hold to that next year. I want to do another road trip.
I would. That was like one of like the most fun things I've ever done. That was a blast. I would love to make that a somewhat annual thing.
Yeah, that was. I had a great time with that too. I was thinking, like, man, what? I keep trying to talk Adam into. I'm like, you know, just come to Indianapolis. You can road trip with us. And he's like, yeah, oh, you know, it's a long way. And I know it is still a pretty long drive for him to get there and then sit in the car again. But you know, you get to hang out with pals and
totally.
Who knows? Maybe one of these days we'll make it happen. But yeah, I'd like to see more people get involved. It just seems to have worked out pretty well for a lot of us. I know it's a really East Coast thing, so maybe some West Coasters. I don't ever get out there, but maybe one of these days there'll be something more West Coast that we can do at some point in time. But yeah, definitely check that out. Hey everybody, by now you know a lot about our sponsor OTC Video Games, but I'm here to tell you again about some of the great products that they offer. Big thing I would mention about, these guys really kind of understand the collector mindset. They've been involved in the hobby for a long time, they're great to work with, they make sure everything that they sell is tested, and they back that with a 30-day guarantee, so you really can't go wrong. You also get to kind of pick the shipping method that you prefer, so if there's a certain shipper that you would like, no problem, they can take care of that. I'm also really happy to report that Chris from OTC Video Games has been telling me that you guys have really been going out there and using our promo code. So just remember, our promo code COLLECTORCAST, you can use that on your purchases over at otcvideogames.com to save yourself 5%. Remember that OTC Video Games doesn't just sell games themselves. You can buy manuals, you can buy boxes, and if you like them on social media like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, they've been putting up pictures of some stuff that they get in, so you get a chance to jump right in, see the new products, no matter where you're at. Maybe you find a great little buy that's out there before everybody else that's browsing through the website gets a chance to check it out. So make sure that you're following them on all those things. I also want to remind everybody that if you buy over $50 worth of products through otcvideogames.com, you can get free shipping as long as you're in the U.S. Also, we know a lot of our listeners like to get out there and hit the conventions, so OTC Video Games is going to be making some physical appearances at a lot of these. So coming up, they're going to be at Retro World Expo, so if you're coming out to see us, you can definitely say hi to Chris and thank him for all that he does to sponsor the show. A little farther out, they're going to do the Lehigh Valley Comic Con. That's in Schnecksville, Pennsylvania on December 3rd. So again, just remember otcvideogames.com, OTC Video Games on social media. If you're going there, you're making a purchase, use our promo code COLLECTORCAST to save 5% on your order. And I want to say thanks again for OTC for sponsoring the show. Well, Krabby, I didn't solicit any questions this time because I think we've got a couple things to pour over, and I think we've probably had enough to talk about. So I think the first thing I wanted to talk about, just because it's topical, is this PlayStation 4 Pro presser. So first off, did you watch it or did you just hear from us about that?
I just heard in the RFGen chat thread about it.
Okay. Okay, so there's we have a chat app that we use a lot to kind of keep in contact when we're, you know, just through the day. We spend a lot of time on that, which is fun.
Some days, so much time.
Yeah, that's why you're not getting anything done. You said you didn't have time now that you have only one job. That's why.
Exactly. I'm just chatting with you jerks all day.
I can't blame you. I guess first off, though, you're a PlayStation fan. To some degree. I mean, obviously, Nintendo guy, right? But
yeah, I'm after Nintendo, like for current stuff, PlayStation's definitely the one that gets the most use in our house, both for me and my son.
Okay, so I would say anything that's not on the Wii U, you're probably buying on PlayStation 4. Is that the deal?
Yeah, if it's something that's on Xbox and PS4, 100% getting the PS4 version. I'm only grabbing exclusives on my Xbox.
I gotcha. But you have an Xbox in your house again.
I do, and I haven't turned it on in like 4 months. I was trying to remember what the last thing I turned on. I've only turned on once, and it was to play BlazBlue.
Wow.
And I had a good time with that for 20 minutes, and I have never touched it before or since.
Oh, I'm going to go sidetrack for a second. King of Fighters came out, and I know you're a fan, so I want you to tell me about King of Fighters.
I have it. I haven't cracked it open yet.
No, seriously. What?
Because I have a reason, though. It's not because I'm far behind the backlog or anything. I have a friend who's also a huge KOF guy. He's the guy that I always like challenge at the store to 97 when he comes in.
Uh-huh.
We're waiting to get together to do it at the same time, and he's been really swamped with his work stuff lately. But his birthday is next weekend, so I should be able to swing over to his place and put a little time into it with him.
So we'll get a report next time. Is that what you're saying?
I think so.
Have you watched any of the footage? I saw like a little bit of a King of Fighters tournament on Twitch.
No, I'm trying to keep clear of any of that stuff yet until I've got to play it.
Okay, well, I won't say much. I'll wait for your impressions. You're much more of a King of Fighters. I'm like ridiculously casual pick up and play. That's about all I do with that one.
No, we both really like it and can't wait to dig into it. I know the like graphics look a little bland, especially compared to 13, but the few gameplay trailers that I saw leading up to it look phenomenal. So I'm hoping it feels like King of Fighters, even though it may not look like it.
I think the thing is with those, as long as the fighting mechanics are solid, that's the important thing, right?
It is, but 13 was so solid and beautiful. It's hard to lose it. It's like it feels like a step backwards almost.
Oh,
even if the mechanics are there, it's I don't know. It's got big shoes to fill.
Is it the same developer or did somebody new take it on, or what's going on?
I know very little about it.
Okay. All
right. Not dug in yet.
I will wait to learn more, I guess. But also, Mai is going to appear in Dead or Alive.
DOA, yeah, that's a really awesome crossover.
Yeah, so is that going to make you pick up and play some DOA?
I always like DOA.
Okay.
If they put it out physically, because they've kind of stopped doing that with some of the fighters like DOA,
yeah.
I will totally grab it. If it's digital only, if I go to someone's house and they own it, I will play it kind of thing.
Well, you can get the starter pack of DOA for free.
Even if it's free, I probably won't download it.
I've played some of it. It's good. I mean, it's DOA.
The one downloadable game I've put any time into is that Pokemon Go.
Oh, my goodness. And is that still going on?
Yeah, we're still doing it.
You're like the only one, I think, right?
Nah, we got lots of people at the store that are competing. We're trying to see who can get a Snorlax first.
Did you ever get the Rock Guy?
Which Rock Guy?
I don't know. Last time we did the show, I asked you if you had the Rock Guy, and you said you didn't have the Rock Guy.
I have a couple Rock Guys now. I don't know if it's the one you're referring to, though.
I don't know. The guy that looks like a rock with giant arms.
Golem? Does he have four arms or two arms?
It's a two.
Two? I probably got that guy then.
Oh, okay. Because you said last time that Mike had started playing and that he just described them all by what they look like.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I run into him, he's still playing too, which is really weird to me because he has no Pokemon connection at all. He was telling me that because in it you can hatch eggs by walking.
Yeah.
And they've like literally put a speedometer cap on it. So if you're going more than like 15, 20 kilometers an hour, it won't register your movements. You can't just drive around like that.
They want you to be lazy. Is yeah. that it?
So no, like you can't drive around. It'll cap the speed and well, it won't
you
can. Let you...
you just have to drive really slow.
Exactly. So Mike works graveyard shifts at like a industrial area. And so after he's done his work, he's got a couple hours before the next round of work starts. So uh-huh. he drives around the yard like 10 kilometers an hour trying to hatch his eggs all night.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. He's burning a ton of gas, but he's having fun.
Oh, that's funny. I've got some friends that were playing it, and one of them is still going at it pretty hard and heavy. I think the other ones have kind of mostly given up, but,
trying to catch them all, trying to complete that Pokedex. And even my wife has gotten so into it, and she doesn't play anything ever. and she is almost caught up to me in levels, and she's like three Pokemon behind me in the Pokedex. Like, she's really keeping up. It's impressive.
That's very impressive. Well, good deal. Good deal. Okay, we got off track, but that's okay. I mean, that's a good thing. Back to PlayStation. Okay, so back to PlayStation, because that's kind of where we started off with this thing. So PlayStation had their presser the other day, middle of the day. It's kind of weird, I guess. But, I mean, you know, maybe they're industry people. I don't know who they were really trying to market this thing to. And you didn't watch. So, although we were chatting through the whole thing, so I guess I can give you my opinion or take on it.
Yeah, I was picking it up a little bit from you guys.
Okay, so they come up and it's one of those PlayStation meeting things, but what you first kind of noticed is that, at least to me, what I first noticed, it was like the production quality was really not good. Like, I noticed they had like a little like banner up, like at the beginning of the thing, and it says like, welcome to the PlayStation meeting or something like that. But they had missed, they typoed it. So it was like, welcome to the PlayStation meeting. And then, like, before the show starts, like, it's quiet and the lights are down and, you know, the people in the audience are kind of doing things. And you could hear, like, out of one of, like, in my one ear, you could hear, like, the production staff talking. And, like, saying stuff. Not like, and they didn't realize, like, a mic was on or something. And so they're jib-jabbering about all sorts of stuff. And you're like, what the heck? But then, they start the show. And what struck me, it was, like, that the way that they kind of talked was like really almost like somber. There wasn't like any, like, you know, like a E3 when they're like kind of like that last press conference, they almost kind of like had a swagger. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah. They were having fun and it was short and sweet. And then they'd show off some stuff. Like, they weren't doing their regular PR mode kind of talk.
Yeah. It was kind of like, yeah, we're hot and we're going to enjoy it for a minute. Right.
Yeah, totally.
And this time it was kind of like, yeah, well, unfortunately, everybody's already leaked everything that we have to say. So I guess we'll do a suppressor. So
put up the PowerPoint.
Kind of. So, I mean, they come up and they give kind of this blah, blah opening speech, the head of whatever, right? And then they bring out Mark Cerny to talk about, you know, PlayStation Pro after they've showed it, which is this huge thing. So that's the weird, and the Slim, which they said didn't exist, even though there was video of it existing. They said, no, it doesn't exist. Well, yes, it does, of course, right?
It's Photoshop.
Yeah, but no, they show it. Okay, yeah, you're right. Here it is. And they showed the PlayStation 4 Pro at some point. I don't remember, that might have been later, but anyway, the thing is huge. Like, the guy is carrying it under his arm. So think of, like, Xbox One size.
But they're trying to catch up to Xbox One size?
I think that's almost like...
I think it's a, like, monster.
Yeah, like PlayStation went bigger and Xbox went smaller with their new thing.
So backwards.
Yeah, it's really like he's got this big thing under his arm. And it looks like two PlayStation 4s kind of like sandwiched on top of each. I'm sure you've seen the pictures, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it totally looks like when people were always like the Wii is two GameCubes taped together. Like, yeah. It looks like those cheesy Photoshopped like, yeah, we just made two Wiis. Wii U now.
I know, that's, and it really looks like that. You're like, no, really? No, they didn't. Yes, they did.
What did Adam call it? A PS4 club sandwich?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like a PlayStation BLT or something.
Yeah, it's the extra slice of bread in the middle. It's weird.
No, it's the PlayStation Big Mac, I guess.
Yeah.
But, Cerny throws up this PowerPoint. They're like, okay, what's the big deal about PlayStation 4 Pro? Well, it must not be anything, because they didn't sound very excited about what they were talking about. But they bring up like these four pillars, which is basically, I think it's like 4K, HDR. God, I don't even remember what the other ones are. That's how exciting it was.
Was VR one of them?
No.
No.
They didn't even mention VR in this whole thing. Slightly. What? Slightly. Okay, slightly. We'll get to that. But really, they didn't. Okay, so let's go through each piece and let's kind of chat about it. I want to get your opinions because, you know, you heard a little bit, but we didn't really get a chance to talk about it.
Okay.
So the first part they talk about is 4K, right? So it's 4K TVs, you know, and displays and making all this big deal. Like, you know, like 4K is four times the resolution of HD, and they've got these pictures on slides of how much more stuff that could represent and all this stuff. But what they started going into was kind of like some garbagey junk that was basically like, well, it doesn't really do 4K. It kind of just, we use these weird techniques to sort of like upsample to 4K.
That right there sounds like a software upgrade they could do to the current PS4, not like something you'd introduce new hardware for.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, I think so even weird. To render 4K, that takes a lot of juice, right? I mean, it takes sure, a pretty but powerful. But if
you're building a box with that as one of the staples, you think it should just do it.
Well, granted, I read some other article.
Do tricks for it.
That, you know, like a PC graphics card that can do like real life, like native 4K,
yeah,
is like $1,500. So there's right. not really any chance they could really do this affordably. But why do it? Why do it at all? I guess my.
Do you know what the install rate is on 4K TVs? Like, it can't be.
No,
like,
it's not,
less than 10%, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not good.
It's tiny.
It's not good. And I think most people don't understand why they would even want to upgrade to 4K, right?
I know I don't.
Yeah, I mean, like. I guess they just started coming out with Blu-rays that are 4K, which mm-hmm. later on we find out after the press conference when someone forced them to answer the question, this doesn't play them. Even though the new Xbox One Slim does.
Oh, the Slim does not. The Scorpio, the Slim.
The Scorpio will, but the Slim does right now.
Ouch, that's a big blow.
Yeah, so you can imagine what the tweets from Xbox were. Pretty immediate, right? Like, oh, you can already do all that stuff right now, and it's $100 cheaper.
Yeah. Smart.
I mean, I'm not, you know, I get it. But I think that's it. Like, the attitude I got from this stuff was almost like, I don't know, like, trotting this thing out to die or something? Is kind of the feeling I got, like, we're forced to go out and make this announcement. Is the feeling I got. But anyway, so they're talking about all these complicated techniques, like all these complicated, like rendering. It's Mark Cerny, and he's talking like technical blah, 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 blah.
Right.
All I got out of it was basically like, yeah, well, it's not really 4K. where we're using all these little special techniques, and it's still going to look a lot better than it does on 1080p, and da, da, da. But it's really not 4K. I mean, it's technically pumping out a 4K signal. It's just not native 4K. So it's like, what?
So is this going to be like the 1080i versus 1080p kind of quality difference? Do you know?
No, it sounds like to me like, you know, when they up-res things. So I don't know, like when you see like one of these like old PS2 games gets remastered.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And now it's in 1080p, but it's still using like the old style graphics.
Yeah.
That's kind of the idea that I'm getting.
Gotcha.
So you're like, okay, well, all right, maybe that's okay, right? So I'm going to play my games. Maybe they'll look a little better. Well, maybe, because people that make the games have to build in a patch to support it. And there's nothing to make them do that.
Yeah, only like big titles or ones with like major DLC coming are probably going to put in that kind of effort.
Yeah, what are you going to do for like old games that have been out for a while? Like, all these publishers are probably going to be like, yeah, this thing is selling for $2 at GameStop. Let me go patch it.
Right? Yeah.
Let me invest money that I can't recoup in this thing.
Well, they can just charge you for the patch. There you go.
Well, yeah, well, that was what came out. Is like, they technically don't have a way to force them to give you the free patch. I mean, they could totally charge you if they wanted to.
Ugh.
I mean, okay. But, I mean, I'm sitting there. I'm putting my place in the idea of the publisher. But, I mean, think about it. If you were a publisher, would you want to go back through your catalog and do that for free?
I can probably think of less than five publishers that might be interested in doing that. It'd be a tiny, tiny number.
I mean, obviously Sony has to do it for first party titles because sure. It's their machine.
Something big to like make some fans happy or something. I could see like something like Bethesda doing that.
Maybe EA, do you think? Like sports titles?
No, I don't think they dig back into sports titles. They want you playing the new one. They wouldn't go further.
But whatever the current one is, right? Yeah.
They'd be selective. They might do a couple titles. They wouldn't do a lot. They wouldn't dig very far back.
Right. So we can probably guess that if it picks up enough steam, they'll build this stuff in to the future games that are coming out.
Yeah.
But if you're a developer, I mean, let me ask you this question. You're a developer and you have to develop a game. How much money and time do you want to spend in dumping into features which almost all of the install base can't use?
When you put it that way.
Seriously.
Yeah, like I said, the install rate on TVs has got to be tiny. I got to look that up. It seems stupid.
Yeah,
unless
I mean,
Sony might choose a few games like No Man's Sky type deals where they're like, hey, we're going to give you some extra resources to do this when it comes out so it looks better on our console or something. But outside of Sony being involved, I don't know who would do that.
Yeah, and here's this weird thing. I don't want anybody that's listening to think I'm bashing on Sony. I own both consoles. You know, that's not the deal. Because Microsoft is doing 4K stuff too with the Scorpio. So, I mean, you know, they're in the same boat. They're going to have this battle. But Scorpio is already known to be more powerful than the PlayStation Pro, so it doesn't even matter, right? I just don't get how this is a win for them. The only thing I thought about was they sell TVs, so maybe they think this is a way to sell more TVs?
It's coming out a lot earlier. I think that's one bonus it has for it.
Comes out, I think, the next November.
November, yeah, like this year. I don't think anyone expected it to hit this year.
Right. Well, you know, holiday. I get it.
So, looking at this article right now about 4K TV in households,
mm-hmm.
They're expecting it to pass 10% by 2018.
Oh, no.
So, it's not huge right now.
Wow. So, oh my goodness. So, maybe Microsoft is smarter by waiting until Christmas of next year. Because at least the adoption rate will be closer to 10% than it is now, I guess.
Yeah, if it's all about 4K on each one, I don't think Sony's going to gain a whole lot by being out that year ahead if that whole year, like, barely anyone has one.
And what do you think is going to happen this holiday season when people are going out to buy Christmas presents and they see, here's the $300 PlayStation and here's the $400 Pro model PlayStation? And they ask, why should I buy this one? And they'll say, well, do you have a 4K TV? No. Well, then you should get the $300 one.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, who buys this?
The guy who has to have the best thing. Whether he's going to use it or not, you know, it costs more, so it's better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can imagine like some people might, well, in the next year or two, I might get a 4K TV.
I think people that want the VR might pick it up too.
That's true. Yeah, if you're like totally sold on PlayStation VR, yeah, that would make more sense, although they really didn't mention anything about it.
No, hopefully your salesman's informed when you ask that question. Why would I want the $100 one over the $300 one?
But we're talking about places like Best Buy and GameStop. Do you think that's going to happen on Christmas when the place is packed?
50-50 at GameStop. Probably never at Best Buy or Walmart or Costco.
Yeah, they'll just be on shelves, and you just have to figure out what you want to buy, right?
Yep.
I don't know. But that was the thing with 4K. I mean, they spent a lot of time, and they kind of went around in circles about this. Again, to get really in-depth in some technical stuff, which I think it's not good. If you have to try to explain to your customer why they want this, that's not good.
No, that's the problem the Wii U had with its marketing.
Exactly.
They couldn't explain why it was different and what made it unique and fun. And yeah, if they're having a messaging problem, I don't know. I don't know. They got a lot of momentum going into this Christmas, so I don't know if this is going to hurt them or what.
I don't see how it's going to really help them much. This thing can't be cheap to make.
No, new hardware is always like at cost or sometimes below it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll be curious to see what happens. I mean, nobody releases sales numbers anymore unless they, you know, hit some kind of like watermark, like, oh, we've sold, you know, 20 million consoles or something.
Well, no, they'll tweak it a bit too, and they'll say we've shipped 20 million consoles. So there's like 3 million of them sitting on shelves at stores, not in customers' hands, but
yeah, that's true, right? And I'm kind of curious, we're probably about 3 years into this hardware cycle now, so we're probably like halfway through its life, which is crazy because it doesn't seem to me it's been that long. But how many of these machines are coming into your store now used?
We see Xbox Ones almost daily now.
Wow. Okay.
PS4s twice a week. We use once every 2 weeks.
Okay.
You can tell which one people are okay to get rid of the quickest when they are having money problems.
I gotcha. Now with Xbox Ones, are they just dumping and they're out of gaming, or they're like, I'm going to get a PlayStation 4?
There's a decent amount of people that are trading it in to upgrade to I don't know if upgrade's the right word. I don't want to offend Bill. But change over to PS4.
Okay.
I'd say, you know, we don't hear everybody's story, but at least one in every 10 says something along that line.
How many people come in and trade their Xbox One in for a PlayStation 4 you have in your store?
When we have them, it happens pretty frequently. The problem is when we put a PS4 out, it sells within an hour. It's gone like that.
Okay.
Xbox Ones will stack up. We'll have 5 or 6 of them at a time kind of thing.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. I mean, I do enjoy Xbox. I'm not going to lie about that. I've got to play quite a few games on, but I will totally give it. You know, Sony's done a great job this time around. So, kudos to them. I just wonder where on earth this stuff's going.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so they talked a lot about that, and they gave a lot of really weird gobbledygook that really, I was just after a while, I'm like, really? Come on, man. And then they went on to HDR. So I guess first off, just saying HDR, crap, you're a gaming guy. Do you know what HDR is?
Isn't that like recording your gaming?
No.
No? Then I just assumed it was like a PVR. I have no idea.
Okay.
See, what is HDR?
And I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm just saying that I don't think a lot of people know what that is at all. And to try to make it a selling point. So HDR is high dynamic range. And
it was close though, right?
Yeah, sure. But you have to have a TV that has HDR capabilities. So here we go again. Not all 4K TVs have HDR. And some 1080p TVs have HDR, but it's an option. It's not a standard. And the standard is not common between all manufacturers, necessarily.
That's a mess.
Which they also kind of mentioned in the press conference quickly. Like, well, this thing is not really quite standardized yet. Great, but you want to sell it to me. But, you know, hey, I'm going to pick again. It's also supported on Xbox One S, at least for Blu-rays, I think. But anyway, what it basically does is it makes like the bright parts of the screen really, really bright. It's like it's just much brighter. So you can tell the difference between lights and darks way more than like on a normal screen. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Dynamic range.
Yeah. So more like going, I guess, to a theater than it would be just watching like your normal TV in lights and darks and that sort of thing, which was tough because they're trying to show people in this press conference 4K and HDR, except everyone watching it is watching is watching on what?
Their laptop or whatever, yeah.
Their low-res, non-HDR screen. So you can't tell the difference. What they had to do is they said, well, we're going to simulate what it would be like so people at home can see what the difference is. They had to fake something to try to say, like, this is what it would look like if you were really here.
This is what it would look like if you spent thousands more dollars on all this equipment.
Exactly. 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 But that's it. They're like, okay. And
now that's one of those features. Yeah. Like, it's so hard to demo in something like that. Like VR games and stuff too. Like, you can't make them look like they actually look when you're using them. That's a tricky one.
Yeah. And I think that's probably the tough selling point, because I think we talked about this before. Neither you or I are really that interested in VR, right?
Not really, no. Except for Batman VR. Come on, to be Batman.
Star Wars a little bit, right?
That'd be cool too, yeah.
But I think we talked before, you're probably going to wait until one just shows up in the shop before you even touch it, right?
Oh, yeah. I have zero intention of paying retail for one. I will try one at the store when it comes in. If it's cool, I might keep it. If it's not cool, I will put it back in the store.
Now, I'm curious, what do you expect? Because we were just talking about this off air before, but you wear glasses.
I do. I have a friend who has an HTC Vive that I've got to use a couple times. They've designed that one, I feel like, way better than the Oculus for people with glasses, because both of us have glasses. And I can wear them. They don't mush into my face and hurt me. They don't fog up. They feel fine. Like, I have no issue wearing them playing it. But when I play an Oculus, I am painfully aware that I'm wearing glasses the whole time, because they're like jamming into the bridge of my nose the whole time.
So I've not really got to mess with VR, but obviously now you're saying you have. I mean, what do you think?
Pay the extra $500 for the Vive if you have glasses.
Okay. But I mean, beyond that, what, like, the experience itself? Tell me about what you got to play around with.
I haven't got to play anything substantial yet, is the thing, because I'm usually at his house for an hour or two, and there's several other people there that all want to try it. So we're playing the quick demo, like high score kind of games, which are super, super fun in some cases. It's fun to watch people play them. But I haven't seen a single thing that I would buy it and take it home and play and try and immerse myself in yet.
Do you have any sort of motion sickness issues with it or anything?
No. When I was using the dev kit a little bit for the Oculus, there was one game that I got really, really ill from. I can't remember what it was called, but basically, you know the ride the Zipper at the fair?
Which one is it?
You're like in a little cart, and it's on like a, like almost like a chainsaw chain around this thing. So it spins you that way, and then the cart flips too.
Yeah, okay, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you're basically on something like that, and you're spinning around and blah, getting sick. And when you hit spacebar, whatever point of this thing you're at, it will just launch you off of it.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, so if you catch it when it's like flipping you up, you will fly over this city just like spinning wildly in your cart until you hit the ground and splat.
It's not really horrible.
A game. It was more of like a tech demo. But that one made me really feel sick. Nothing else really did that. But with the Vive, I haven't noticed that at all. I haven't got any motion sickness out of it.
Okay. Do you think it's cool, or is it like just like, meh, it's okay?
It's pretty cool. With the Vive, again, it's got these really decent controllers that come with it.
Uh-huh.
They're super comfortable. You always know where they are. Like, it's super accurate. You can put one down, because we played in his basement, and I think we had a 2 meter by 2 meter play space.
Okay.
And you could put the controller down, and it would be a gun in the space pirate game we were playing. You could walk a whole way across the grid and still see like your gun laying on the ground. Mm-hmm. And like come back and pick it up right where it was. Like, it was really accurate. So you always kind of knew where you were into space with everything.
Okay.
Yeah, so never felt disoriented. Felt like I could have played a lot longer if you have the energy to. Like, some of them are exhausting because you're trying to dodge bullets and jump around, and they're work, exercise. But I don't know. Like, I don't know what kind of game I'd want to sink that much time into on it.
Hmm.
Other than being Batman.
I could see that or doing Star Wars, right? Of course.
Yeah Driving, piloting an X-Wing or a TIE fighter would be so cool.
I guess we're gonna get into the enhanced graphics bit in a minute after HDR, so we'll talk about VR slightly there for a minute. So they talk all about this HDR stuff, and you know, like, really, like, this is a huge deal, the way they're going on. And But of course, again, they have to patch the games to support HDR. So maybe you'll get it. Maybe you won't. And here's the thing that got me, and I guess good and bad, is that they're patching in HDR support for the regular PlayStation 4 for free.
Yeah.
Which is cool, but then why do you need to buy the Pro one? You see what I'm saying?
I don't see what Sony's saying. I see what you're saying.
What's the marketing idea behind this, I guess?
I don't know. I think they're maybe, because they're first to market, they're hoping that's all they needed?
I don't know. I mean, are they thinking like we got to be... I mean, obviously this stuff leaked like a long time ago. I mean, I think it was like spring or something. Were people talking about this?
It was before E3 for sure.
Yeah, because people were like, we're going to see it at E3. And like, no, it doesn't exist or whatever. It's basically what they were saying or something, right?
Yeah.
Or behind closed doors or something like that.
Well, they flat out denied it a couple times.
Yeah, which of course, I mean, that's what companies do. Yeah.
When it was from one source, you're like, oh, maybe. But then it was like 7 or 8 different sources were confirming the same information. So you're like, okay, this is happening.
Yeah. And I think eventually they did say like, yeah, there's a thing. But they still didn't say much because everybody else had already leaked everything. And that was the thing that got me as we went through this pressure. It was like, wow, everything has leaked except the price, which is the only thing they could have kept under wraps.
Yeah.
And so literally everything else came out. And not always in the way I think they wanted it to. But anyway, so that was HDR. And they spent a lot of time talking about HDR.
That doesn't seem like a feature that would matter to most of your audience.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like watched a Digital Foundry like first take on it because one of the guys from Digital Foundry was there. And I always like watching their stuff because they do a really good job of like doing technical analysis of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, being there and seeing it on their fancy TV in that press conference, it was very... you could notice a big difference because they basically had made it where they could like switch it on and off. So right. You could really see the difference right in front of your face. And the guy was like, yeah, this is kind of a big deal. I just don't know how your average Joe is going to be like, yeah, I want to go buy a brand new super expensive TV and a PlayStation 4 Pro to go with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess if it was like a standard, like all new HD TVs, even the regular like 1080p ones were going to have this feature built in, that would be like, oh, that's cool then. But again, you don't even need it because the old PlayStation 4 is going to be able to do it. So I don't know. But again, they spent a lot of time talking about that. So, you know, is what it is. And then they talked about kind of like some of the technical tricks that are going to go on. Like, again, like some of these patching of old games and what they can do to make them look. Basically, they're talking about all the different ways that a developer could use the tool. Like, well, they could increase the frame rate, or they could make better textures, or they could do these things.
Only 2 years into like a console life cycle, though. Like, they find ways to do those kind of things just with whatever hardware they're given in a normal cycle.
Yeah, does it seem almost like this is a cop-out? Like, well, we haven't really pushed this thing to the limit. Or, here's my other thought. Did the old generation stay around just so doggone long that by the time the new ones came out, they were already old when they came out? That they had these designs sitting on a shelf, basically, and waited too long to bring them out?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know, it feels too insignificant of a jump right now, but I don't think they could have waited like 2 more years to put this console out.
Probably not, because it was a crazy long generation. I think that was the problem, is maybe the last generation was basically a generation and a half, right?
Yeah.
Lengthwise. So now we're going to get this weird half-step sort of thing going on. as they try to sandwich things into the same generation?
I feel like there's going to be another step before we see new actual hardware too. I think there'll be like a Pro Plus or whatever the heck they call it.
Pro.
And then they'll just have six tiers to it.
Yeah, I just, this is going to be confusing to market, I would imagine.
Yeah, it'd be like the 3DS mess they've made marketing there.
Gosh, that's even worse. At least it's not called the new PlayStation 4. Oh, man. But anyway, they go through all these tricks, and they do briefly mention that the power could be used to make, like, VR stuff look better. But, I mean, like, literally, that's about all they said. It was like a sentence, and that was it. I mean, literally no other talk about VR. Does that seem strange? Because this product is coming out next month. PSVR.
Yeah, it's soon.
Would you think you would be like, this is a perfect pairing? This is you would love to buy these two things together, and here's why.
That seems like the easiest marketing tool, too. It's something tangible, something new, something fun, something you can do with it better than you can do with your PS4, your regular PS4. It seems like a much better marketing point than the 4K stuff and the HDR stuff. It's easier for people to grasp what it gives them immediately when they get it.
Yeah, but they didn't do any of that. Which was a real head scratcher. Just the whole time I'm like, huh? And I didn't stick around. They had like some interview stuff after the main presser, but I didn't stick around for that. Maybe they talked about some of that a little bit, but I would have thought I would have seen some news about it, and I didn't really see anything. I noticed that there's some little port on the back of the Pro, and I wonder if that's for the VR headset or something. I don't know. But anyway, again, they didn't spend a crazy amount of time on any of this stuff. And there was one other point that they tried to make, and I can't even remember what it was. That was how important it was. And then at the end, basically, they come out and talk about price, right? That was the end, which we've already talked a little about. But, you know, Slim is going to be $299, Pro $399. Which I have to say, at least they got the price point in the right spot. I think. What do you think?
Have they priced the Scorpio yet?
No, because that's next year, next holiday.
Right.
And I'm gonna probably guess Scorpio is gonna be more expensive than this, but maybe Microsoft will want to just spank them and just eat the money and say no, $400. I don't know.
They got a year to see how the Pro gets handled and then decide that. I think.
Sure.
If it's a bomb, why bother? Just put it out, whatever. You were originally going to put it out, but yeah, if they need to play more catch-up, then they can drop the price and be more aggressive.
Right. So, I mean, this Pro is coming out basically the original PlayStation 4 price.
Yeah, which they did really, really well at.
I think the problem, though, is that the Slim does not come down. It's still at the same $300 price point.
They'll do what they always do, though, and just make weird bundles to add more value to it. Like, hey, you get a year PlayStation Plus and these two digital games bundled in with it.
I agree with you, but Xbox deals and marketing have been really aggressive. Have you seen some of these deals? I don't know if it's the same up there.
I don't really pay attention to the new deals, no. What's going on?
I mean, I've seen like a lot of like 250 plus some games and some stuff, or I think I even saw a deal once like 220 for an Xbox One. Now they're probably getting rid of some of like the big models and before the Slims came out, but I mean, like, really aggressive deals coming out. I don't know. I would say that I would really have thought, like, if they came out with a 250 model for the Slim, I would have been like, okay, bam, Christmas, you got this. You know what I mean?
I don't think they need to, though. Like, I think Microsoft's doing that both to make room for the Slims for sure. But they're getting killed in sales. They got to do what they can to move some consoles, move some hardware.
Well, I know, what was the month of July or August? They outsold Sony.
And how many months have they done that, though, in the last 2 years?
Not a lot. I'm not trying to say that they're suddenly cleaning their clock. I'm not saying that. But I think
July was the first month with the Slim on sale, right?
No, that was this month, I think. I'm pretty sure. But they've been discounting to try to clean out channels of stock. You know what I mean?
Right. Did they have any big games or anything launching as well?
I don't think I mean, they've been doing like just aggressive bundling, I think.
Yeah.
I'm just saying,
was that worldwide or just U.S. too? That they
I'm sure it's just U.S. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I understand that. You know, this is not going to be a worldwide phenomenon for any at all, and I totally get that. It's a U.S. thing. But I mean,
I think it spills over into Canada quite a bit too. I think it's just the rest of the world that doesn't feel that way.
Sure, and I understand. I'm like, you know, a non-native console is never going to do great in Japan. I mean, consoles in general are not doing great in Japan. So, you know, that's not surprising. I don't know. I mean, what do you think about this? You're looking at the holiday that's coming up. Now you know what's going on. You know, Xbox has their Slim. That's going to be pretty much it. They have one console to sell, one thing to focus on. That's it, right? Now, PlayStation has two things to focus on. One of them they can't effectively market to anybody.
Neither of them really have big games this year either. It's kind of a boring Christmas season.
I agree. And Nintendo is basically just written Christmas off.
Yeah, nothing's going to happen there until at least this spring if we're lucky.
Yeah, I think that... Are they putting anything out?
There's tons and tons of rumors saying that whatever it is going to launch in March. They're supposed to do a presser, I think, late this month with some actual information on it, finally.
Yeah, but I mean for this holiday. Do they have anything for Wii U?
Nothing significant, no.
Yeah, so I mean, they've pretty much just given up.
Yeah, the next and last interesting thing is going to be Zelda, and that's not till next year.
Sure, that'll be the last gasp, right? Well, except for Bloodstained.
That'll be amazing, yeah. Everyone will have not had a Wii for like a year, and then it'll come out.
Yeah. Did you kickstart it with the Wii U version?
Yeah, I got two copies of the Wii U version.
Oh, wow. Fancy.
One to open and one to not open.
Yeah, because I don't know if anybody, you know, our listeners know that got pushed back to first half of 2018. So.
Yeah.
Which, it's okay, though. Does that surprise you, really?
No. I've backed 4 Kickstarters now. Mm-hmm. None of them have given me their product when I was supposed to get their product. It's just a normal thing.
You didn't back Cheetahmen, did you?
I did.
Oh, yes, we got those on time.
Yeah. Was that Kickstarter?
Yeah.
Okay. That one, yeah. I forgot that was even Kickstarter then. That was probably the first thing I backed.
Yeah, that was the earlier days when...
Yeah. So it's sad when you can rely on Cheetahmen more than Castlevania, Mega Man, all these big franchises, guys that have worked in the industry for years and years and years.
Doesn't take long to shovel crap out the door, does it?
Hey, it was the crap they promised, and they gave me exactly what they said they would.
They delivered, that's for sure. I'm sure yours is still nicely sealed, just like mine.
It is.
Probably to remain that way. Yeah. But that's a little bit of a tangent, but... But okay, so I mean, you're looking at this holiday season. What do you think is? I mean, what do you think?
I don't know. I think it's gonna be just neck and neck because Microsoft's gonna be more aggressive, and Sony might have misstepped a little bit. I don't think that'll push Xbox way ahead of them. I think they might just sell similar this holiday, and that's just in North America.
I agree. I mean, I don't look for Sony to get. To fall apart or anything like that. I would expect them still to do very well this Christmas. But I have to wonder what happens with the Pro. And we'll probably never know numbers, will we? I mean...
Yeah, I don't know. They usually just combine them. They don't say, like, what model's doing better than the other.
Right. Unless it does ridiculous numbers way ahead of expectations, which it won't, I don't think.
Sold 10 million in December kind of thing, yeah. Something outrageous.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine like the initial batch shipment that people pre-order will probably sell out. I just wonder what happens after that.
It might be tight this Christmas, but I don't think it's going to have that like big lasting hype. Like people are going to be trying to find it in February.
Yeah, and I wonder if it will just be tight this Christmas because they won't bother to make many.
Yeah, and then people might settle for the older models or grab an Xbox instead.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens here. I guess that's the interesting part. Okay, so if you're selling a console on 4K and you're harping on 4K, even to the point where they mentioned they're going to have 4K Netflix, which, oh my God, Netflix? I mean, duh, everybody has Netflix, right?
My mom finally has Netflix.
I'm just saying, like your toaster probably has Netflix on it now. I mean,
I just hooked her up on it like 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And she's like a kid. It is so funny. What? I set it up and she's like, oh, I heard about this one. Oh, House of Cards. Ooh, oh, I wonder, Stranger Things? What's this? And by the time I left, she had like 50 things in her plan to watch list. And then we went over the next day and she just looked terrible. And she's like, I was up till 2 a.m. watching Nashville.
She's got the sickness. Is that it?
Yeah. And yeah, I went over. I'm like, so how are you, Dad? Enjoying House of Cards? What episode are you on? They're like, we're done. We can't wait till the next season comes out. And they're burning through things. It's crazy.
I really liked House of Cards too. I'm like,
I did too. I loved it. I wanted to talk to them about it. And they had like had a whole freaking series to talk about instead of just a couple episodes like I assumed they were into.
So you're like, okay, I'll catch up with you later.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen season 2, episode 4. I'll try and remember.
Yeah, no doubt. We're like, yeah, it's all right. We're past that. All right. Don't worry about it. Yeah. So, I mean, again, they're playing this up so much. And then to later kind of like, well, yeah, it kind of doesn't play 4K Blu-ray. Of which Sony is the Blu-ray co-developer.
And that just seems like, especially to someone like me who doesn't follow all the tech stuff, I assumed it was included. I was genuinely surprised when you guys told me it wasn't.
I was genuinely surprised when they admitted it.
I wonder how many people are going to buy one and just plan to put their Blu-rays in it and be super upset. You know what I found out today that just made me upset about my PS4?
What's that?
It doesn't play audio CDs.
No, it does not.
I just assumed it would, and my son wanted to hear this song that he had, and his stereo in his room's not working, so we plugged it in, and we're very upset that it didn't work.
Your Xbox will play it.
I didn't know that. I just assumed none of them were, because that wasn't... assumed the Nintendo one wouldn't, because they're always weird.
No, your Xbox will still play them. But, yeah, no, you're right. It doesn't. Why? Probably because they just don't want to bother. Because it's, I don't know, anyway. But that just seems, I mean, because you have a console, you want to bring it home, right? I paid for a big fancy TV that's 4K and HDR that you told me to go buy. And I bought your big fancy console so I could see the 4K stuff. But now I have nothing to see that's 4K. There's nothing I can watch that's 4K. Unless I have high-speed internet and Netflix, and they have a few movies in 4K. I don't get it. You know what I mean?
I don't either.
I just, to me, that's like, okay. Especially when I didn't, it was the flip-flop with Xbox, when they said, yeah, we're doing this thing. And their thing came out like, what, a month or, their announcement was a couple months ago or whatever about this thing. And they're like, yeah, you can play these. That was the one I was kind of like, really? Because I saw the Slim as more of just like, oh, it's just the new version. It's not really going to be a better box. It's just a smaller version of the same box, right?
Yeah.
But they're like, no, we put some stuff into it, right? It's going to do this stuff and, you know, but, you know, they kind of went farther than I ever expected them to. And then Sony totally, I think, fell apart Again, this is not even Xbox's like super model. It's just their regular model does it. And your pro model doesn't.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I'm sure Xbox is having a great time tweeting and throwing things out right now, because
yeah, not? I mean, and they've made it so easy for them, right?
Which is weird. Sony is like, they've been on top of it for the last like 3 years straight. Like, their press conferences are getting so much better, been really good at announcing things and telling people why they're important, and then this all of a sudden.
Yeah, I'd be curious. I mean, if you get bored or something, don't even watch all of it. Just maybe grab a couple snippets of them talking. And just seems to me like they, like, even the way they were talking to me just sounded like people that were beat up or something. That were like, just, I didn't want to really be here, but I'm going to do my darndest to try to make this crap sandwich sound good. I mean, that's the way it sounded to me. I mean, there was no enthusiasm or excitement in their voice. It was kind of like, well, I'm going to have to try to educate you why you should maybe buy this, because you're not going to really probably get it. But
did they show any games running on 4K?
They did. They're like one of the big ones they showed was Last of Us Remastered, which is like,
it's so old now.
I know, but now they've made it look better now.
They already did that once before.
I know, but it's better now.
Remastered?
Yeah, basically. And they did show more of Horizon.
Okay, that's something new and exciting. That's smart.
Sure. But again, everybody that was watching it was watching it on... There's no way you can tell it's 4K. You're watching it on a cruddy screen. You can't tell the difference. It's not humanly possible through your non-4K screen. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
I mean, it's like watching a 1080p movie on your small cell phone.
Which I do often.
I'm just saying, you can't get the experience. It doesn't matter that if it is 1080p, because your phone's so small, it doesn't matter, right?
My screen's also shattered, so it's definitely not 1080p.
You're watching movies on a shattered screen?
Constantly.
What's wrong with you?
I'm too cheap to get it fixed, and I keep dropping it playing Pokemon.
How long have you had that phone?
Maybe 4 months.
Wow, you should have got an insurance plan on that baby, huh?
I bought it through a friend, so there was no insurance.
I gotcha. So you got a good deal on it anyway.
I had to get rid of the BlackBerry. Anything to get rid of the BlackBerry.
God, that was probably the worst decision you've made in a long time.
It was not my finest moment. Even the shattered screen phone, I like more than the BlackBerry, though.
That's funny. I mean, I guess I just sit back and have this... And I think the whole internet was kind of had this sit back like, wow, really? Why did you do this? I don't know. I guess I don't know what else to say. I will be surprised. I want you to tell me if you find a lot of people trading in regular PS4s to get a Pro. I'll be curious if that happens at all.
Yeah. That's got to be a small number of people. Yeah. I expected to just do it until I talked to you guys. I was like, what?
Oh, so you were just going to like go whole hog on the thing. Was that it?
Yeah, I'm like, it's new PlayStation. It's going to be better. It's going to do cool things that I want. And then I'm listening to you guys, and I'm like, well, what does it do for me? No, that doesn't help me. That doesn't help me. No, I guess I'll keep my PS4. Because I will literally just have them eventually coming into the store, so I just assumed I'd just trade up. I don't see the point in doing that right now. Even though it's relatively convenient, whatever the transfer process is going to be to get my saves over to the other one, it feels like too much of a pain in the ass to justify the benefits.
Well, that's it. I'm literally sitting here thinking, unless I buy a new TV, the only upside would be maybe there'd be some better frame rates on some games. Maybe. There's literally nothing else. I almost wonder, like, because Sony's a big company, right? Does the TV division come to these guys and be like, hey, you guys are doing great. Maybe if you make a PlayStation that supports 4K, we'll sell some more 4K TVs, so why don't you just do that?
Make sure the Pro has Walkman compatibility.
Mini discs. UMDs. Oh, man.
They need to play on at least one other thing so they can justify the universal.
Yeah, right. Or maybe they'll just use whatever their Vita memory stick format is, right?
Ugh, those things are so tiny. I hate them.
Do you still have a Vita?
I do. I haven't put it on in a while. I've had it packed to bring to the hospital when my daughter was born.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last minute, I'm like, no, I'm just going to grab the GBA and play some Metroid. And I had a really great time playing Metroid.
Wise move.
Yeah.
Wise move. That's sad. Gosh, because you could just throw it in the micro and you don't even have to worry about it, right?
I have one of those like NES-themed GBAs.
Oh, yeah, okay. So like the SPs?
So I feel cool playing it.
Oh, there you go, right? You didn't want to wear off the thing or anything?
Oh, that's fine. I don't mind. It's made to play. I'll play it.
So I don't know. I guess I don't want to spend any more time because I don't want people will be thinking like, oh, you know, man, you guys are bashing Sony. I'm not bashing Sony at all. I play PlayStation 4 a bit.
It's your Bloodborne box.
Yeah, and I played a lot more Dark Souls 3 on PlayStation than I did on Xbox because the frame rate on Xbox is lousy.
Right. Yeah, I remember you saying that.
So I just like this is just a weird move, really. This reminds me of the Xbox One announcement sort of press conference where it was like, we are probably just going to feed you a crap sandwich and try to make it sound good. And you don't really want to buy this, but trust me, buy it anyway.
Once you're always connected.
Yeah, and connect.
You'll love it.
That's right. Connect is going to do so much for you. Okay. Oh,
we had
Oh no.
So many Kinects in our store, like for the 360.
Yeah.
Like over 100 of them.
Oh, wow.
Could not move these things. Just like struggling to figure out like what to do. Like no one even wanted them for like $5 a piece. I've asked like OTC and like a bunch of different companies. I'm like, do you guys buy them for like $1? Like, we will ship them to you. They're like, no, we don't want them.
Just pay shipping. I'll give them to you.
And so last weekend we had like, I just pulled out a huge Tupperware bin of them. And I was just sitting out while we were looking for somewhere to put it. And we had this big sale for our third anniversary.
Yeah.
And some dude from Toronto comes in and just lights up and buys the entire box to do some weird kind of art project back at school when he goes back.
No way.
Yeah, I was so happy that one person existed that wanted a bunch of Kinects.
Wow. How much did you sell them? Like $1 a piece or something?
I don't know how many exactly were in the tub, but we were just like, he's like, I'll give you $125 for all of them.
You're like, you got it. Go, man, go.
We were like, we would have accepted half of that. Please take it.
Wow, that's serendipity.
Yep. Kinects.
Did you get the guy's card though? Be like, man, as soon as I get more Kinects, do you want them?
No, we were too excited to think far ahead like that.
Are you getting a bunch of Xbox One Kinects in?
Not very often.
Okay.
We don't see as many of those as we do the older Kinects.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me much at all. The newer ones though, because since they don't sell them anymore, like even the new Xbox doesn't even have the Kinect port anymore.
Yeah.
Which, I'm probably like the only person that really doesn't mind the Kinect at all. I still use mine.
Bill seems to like it.
It's pretty good for Skype.
Talk to his TV.
Yeah, I do that. I use voice commands. But yeah, it wasn't worth the whatever money. But anyway. Okay, so that's PlayStation. I guess I just wanted to talk about that for a minute because I just was a head scratcher.
Yeah, I agree.
Crazy head scratcher. Next, I want to spend a little time talking about CRT TVs and a little bit about that because I was having some Twitter exchanges with some people and thinking about this idea of tube TVs and, I mean, they're literally not being manufactured anymore anywhere. I think like the last company that was refurbishing tubes and selling them, I think it's gone. It was like someplace in India. I read the article. So you can't go buy tube TVs, or can you buy tubes anymore for them? So it's kind of a end of an era, right?
Totally. Because there's still people that only have those in their house.
Yeah.
We've been house hunting lately.
And we went into some homes that were obviously owned by an older couple. But they literally, we went like three houses in a row that only owned a CRT in the house.
Well, I can see that with older folks, right? Because they're probably like, yeah, why bother, right? I don't really watch much TV. I don't care about that stuff.
Yeah.
And they're probably, I'm going to guess, probably even at that, they were probably pretty older CRTs anyway, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, they were not bought in the 2000s for sure. They had probably early 90s for the most part.
Yeah, sure. They had bought some TV ages ago that was good enough at the time, and then just like, meh, whatever.
Yeah.
It does the job. Bought the converter box at some point in time or something, right? And that's all they need?
I don't know. One of them just had a VHS attached to it. That was it.
Like, I want to watch the old home movies every once in a while.
Yeah, probably.
Now, up in Canada, when did you guys transition to digital?
Oh, that was... What year was that? Wasn't all that long ago. I want to say about 5 years ago, we finally forced people to do that.
Okay, and that's probably not too much different. I think we were maybe 6-7 years ago. I'd have to look up the date to be sure. When like all the TV stations were like, we're just, it's all digital now. You got to get a converter box.
I feel like it's 2011 or 2012, that time frame for us.
Now, I wonder, do you see people that actually have the converter boxes and you're still using them for TV or just...
I don't think so. Like, at least everyone I know, TELUS is really big and involved up here. And they have, like, when you sign up for service with them, they just give you a new box for everything.
Is that your cable company?
Yeah. So you just see those TELUS boxes everywhere.
Okay. All right. So it can hook up to HD and regular TVs. Is that it? Okay. All right. But my thought was, when I'm sitting down to think about this, is there used to be TV repair places everywhere. It was just a normal thing because they were big and they were expensive and it was cheaper to have it fixed than it was to buy another one.
Yeah. I've ordered parts for TVs in the last 5 years to fix for my dad.
Sure. Right. For tubes or for flat screens?
Rear projection, actually.
Rear projection, like a HD rear projection set, or so it was like new bulbs or something, or
convergence chips.
Convergence chip. Wow, that sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's a fun solder. 24 pins that are like millimeters apart.
Oh, it's like one of those like tiny little where like the pins are like right next to each other.
Yeah, I literally had to get the giant magnifying glass out and make sure I wasn't melding everything together.
Wow, I don't have a steady, I can't do that fine of a pitch, Mike. I just don't have the steady hands for it.
I was impressed that it worked well first try.
were you telling him like, I don't know about this?
Well, that's exactly, I'm like, I haven't done this before, and this is a little more delicate than most things I've soldered, but I'll try it.
I'm sure the chip was probably pretty cheap, right?
I think it was about $20 once it was all shipped and said.
So it's kind of like, why not? You're not spending a lot of money. If it doesn't work, whatever. Right? Yeah,
exactly. And it worked really good. And I've actually had that TV after he was done with it. We just gave it away because where we're moving, I have no room for it. So we sent it off to a new home.
Oh, so are you getting a new TV?
No, we've got more TVs and couches than we have human beings in our house. So okay. We're just downsizing some stuff.
Okay. I was going to ask if you're going to get a 4K HDR TV.
I will 100% not be getting a 4K anytime soon.
I can't say as I blame you. So this idea, though, is that, you know, that doesn't happen anymore with, I mean, most people these days. I mean, you see TVs out on the curb, right? A TV doesn't work. You go buy a new TV.
It's got a dead pixel. I gave it to my aunt or threw it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this is this culture we have now that just says, whatever. I don't, you know, I just, you throw it out and you get another one.
Yeah.
And the commodity prices have come to a point where you can reasonably afford to do that because it's not going to cost a whole lot more to go buy a new TV than it would pay somebody to come and fix it, right?
Yeah, labor cost to for repair people is so high that, yeah, you can usually just buy a new set and it might cost you $100 more, but you got a year warranty on it again.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's logical. I get that. But, okay, you can't buy tube TVs. You can't buy tubes. And probably, I'm going to guess, there's probably not as big a market for tube TVs anywhere else except for, like, people that play older video games. Can you think of any other ones?
I actually know a guy in town who collects TVs.
Wow!
He has got, like, some just crazy, crazy old, like, early 1900s kind of boxes. Like, he's got lots of cool stuff, and he's a, like, tech guru in town. Every time you have something that doesn't work, no matter what it is, you take it to this guy.
That's amazing. So does he do that professionally, or is it just a hobby?
He used to do repairs for a music shop in town. He'd fix, like, electric guitars and stuff, like amplifiers and things like that, and do that as, like, a side job. And he's left them. I don't know what he does for his main job now, but I know he still does that tech stuff as it's on the side.
Now, I'm kind of curious, how old is this guy?
Probably early 40s.
Okay, so he's got a little time left where he's still going to be offering these sort of services.
Yeah, but as far as I know, he's like the only guy in town who does that kind of, like, gets into older stuff.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, like, around me, there's, I know one TV repair place around here that's still going, and they've been going for, like, since the 1950s. So those guys could probably fix about whatever was thrown at them. There'd be somebody around there that could figure it out. I was even tempted, and I might still do this. I was tempted to go in there and see if there's somebody that's been around a long time and just do a little interview with them.
That'd be interesting, yeah.
Because that's what I guess my whole kind of point around this and what I wanted to get to the heart of was, is this going to be some kind of lost art of TV repair and of CRT repair where...
It kind of already is.
Yeah.
So niche, like,
and how long can these things go? I mean, are we looking at, since they're not made anymore, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years? I mean, we're going to get to the point where there will not be any more functioning, right?
Yeah, will that happen in our lifetime, you think? Like, do we know life, like, if you don't turn on a TV, like, if you've bought one new and it's been sitting in the box since you got it, are there parts that are going to degrade without use?
Though there will be, right? Capacitors will leak. So,
and what's the time frame on those? Capacitors are
10 to 20 years. But as long as they don't leak and damage the board.
Yeah.
Which would, maybe you could repair the board. So let's say you're proactive. So you're proactive, you regularly change the capacitors out every 10 years, let's say, just to be safe. Okay. Just to be safe. Still, I think outside of that, you could probably reasonably store one of these things for a pretty long time.
Sure.
But so the tubes themselves are not going to last forever.
No, they only degrade with use, though, right? They wouldn't just, I'm sure they would, but it would take a lot longer.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're vacuum sealed, so, I mean, if something could possibly, they lost vacuum, they wouldn't work anymore.
Right.
But yeah, I think pretty much mostly just with use.
And do you know what the typical lifetime is, like 10,000 hours, 20,000 hours, something like that?
I don't. But I would have to think it can't be some astronomical number, right? I mean,
no, because that was pretty common repair for those back in the day.
Yeah. And you don't have the option anymore. I can't just, like, well, I'll just swap the picture tube out. Too bad.
No, it's like, I got to find another TV of the same brand and size that's not being used.
Yeah. And there's only going to be so much time where you can scavenge parts.
They don't even take them anymore, like, at our thrift stores or pawn shops or anything. Like, they're just hitting the dump now if someone doesn't want them.
Same thing around here. That's except you have to take them to a recycling center around here.
Yeah. Yeah. I should have said that too, but.
Yeah. Heavy metals or something in there, I guess.
Yeah.
So an astronomical number of these things are probably being destroyed every day.
Absolutely.
So, again, we're probably one of the few groups of people that are like, want to hold on to these tube TVs for a long time, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to think what other groups. So there'd be video game collectors and enthusiasts.
Sure.
I'm sure there's just TV and tech enthusiasts.
arcade people.
Sure. Just movie and film collectors might want them from the eras of the films they enjoy.
Sure. Or people that are into television shows just to recreate the original experience, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Museums.
Yeah. What about lots of old computers you could just hook up to your TVs back in the day? So old computer enthusiasts?
That's true. Yeah, certainly. But we're kind of running out, and that's still not a big group of people. Know what I mean?
No. No, yeah, all of those niches are very small niches. We're like, what, video games and computers would probably be the biggest ones out of those.
Sure. And probably, I guess, what most people are looking for, cream of the crop CRTs are these, like, these Sony professional video monitors and things like
that. Trinitrons and studio monitors and stuff.
Yeah, which a lot of the people that currently have these don't know they're worth anything to anybody and are trashing them, too. So, I mean, we're not even getting a chance to kind of keep the cream of the crop around and just trash the garbage. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of the best is going just as fast as anything else. I think because, to some degree, hobbyists like us are not actively hunting them down. And it's tough because where would you even store many of them if you wanted to, right?
Yeah, they're not, yeah, something you can just stow away in the closet.
Sure. And I mean, like me, I try to find other people that I know that is into the hobby or something else that will give it a good home, take care of it or whatever. Keep a couple for myself. But yeah, I mean, I guess then again, how many people do you know that will want to take one of these things home and keep them? Maybe they already have one.
Probably.
But I guess what I'm getting at, though, is probably, like I said, the art of repair itself. Sure, even if we hoard these things, how many people are going to know how to repair them to the best of their ability and keep them going? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Guys who used to repair arcade machines in the 80s?
How old are they now?
Oh, I've met a bunch of them. They're retirement age.
Sure.
For sure.
Sure. So how much longer are they going to be around to share this knowledge?
20, 30 years.
Maybe. But, you know, I guess, what do you think about this? I mean, is this something where, I guess where I'm going with this is, as a hobbyist in this, are we, or should we be the ones that take up the mantle and learn this stuff so it doesn't die out? Or, I mean, what do you think?
I think if enough of us don't, it's going to die real quick. But all it takes is a couple good YouTube tutorials to, you know, keep it alive for a while.
Yeah, I think that's true. I wonder about, because while kind of researching and doing more on this, I thought about the same thing you did. Like, oh, I'm going to go look at YouTube. And there's some stuff that's out there, but none of it's like fantastic or very instructional. It's like, oh, I'm going to do this. And the people are just doing it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Not more of like, this is what you need. This is what you should do. There's like an arcade repair tips video that's not bad. But I guess the thing is like a lot of this equipment that you need to work on tubes, they stopped making a long time ago. So, you know, you need to buy equipment that's
antique.
Yeah, 30, 40 years old. And how much of that is still out there and working? You know what I mean? Like tube rejuvenators, right? You know what that is?
Yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah, I mean, most of those things are like really old. Like 1970s, 1980s sort of stuff that I've seen. I mean, maybe they kept making them a little bit more after that. I've not seen it. But like when I'm watching these videos, it's like this thing is from like 1983 or something. You know what I mean? That they're using.
We bought not quite as outdated, but we bought it to demagnetize the arcades, you know how when you have like a speaker or something too close to a monitor, you get the like pinkish bluish corners.
Yep.
So we put this giant magnet thing that you have to like hold 6 feet from it, and don't have anything else electronic nearby, to like demagnetize it from those. We bought it for the arcade machines. We don't use it very often because it's a huge pain in the ass. You got to like pull a machine like way out to the center of the room and keep everything else away from it. But it's weird equipment.
Is it a degaussing coil?
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Cause that's it, right? If your tube gets magnetized, the picture gets all wacky.
Yeah.
And computer monitors degauss themselves. It's built in, but a lot of TVs and like arcade monitors don't. Like this Sony PVM, has a degauss button on it. I can just hit it if I need to. But yeah, I imagine like you said there, right? You have to. And now, does yours require you to take the monitor out of the chassis or anything, or is you just can just do it while it's in there?
We can do it in the chassis.
Okay, all right. Because I saw like a YouTube video where one guy did it, but his was like you had to like basically almost take the tube all the way out to do it. And I was like, wow, that sounds horrible. But I mean, so obviously you've worked a lot on arcade machines and stuff like that. So a lot of experience dealing with CRTs?
Yep. And that is the worst, most pain in the ass part of the entire arcade to work on. Hate it.
How
so?
Hate
it so much. It's so time consuming compared to everything else. And depending on what the problem is, sometimes it's just more convenient to throw it out and get a new monitor.
Which you're not going to be able to do for a whole lot longer.
No, I've actually been looking into converting a bunch of them to LCDs, which pains me deeply inside, but it will save me so much headache.
So is it just the screens are gone, there's burn-in, or is it just I don't want to fool with it?
Burn-in's pretty common. Having the wrong colors is pretty common. Having part of the screen, usually like the top, not appearing at all is pretty common. What else do we have go wrong with those things? I think those are the biggest ones we have to deal with.
So I know from at least what I've watched on some of these videos trying to learn more about the subject that some of those problems are fixable, right? So like the wrong screen color thing, you could rejuvenate the tube maybe and it would look right.
Yeah.
Or rebuild the chassis, right?
Yeah. We've got some replacement chassis. Sometimes you can get away with like doing a cap kit. It's a lot of soldering, but it really sharpens everything up and fixes colors and contrast problems.
Okay. So when you've decided, like, this tube's got to go, what do? You just pitch it, or do you try to, like, hey, does anybody want a tube? Or what do you do?
No, I'm usually so upset with it at that point. I want it out of my sight. I don't want it to survive in anyone's house. I want it gone and dead.
Okay, so I mean, you're an enthusiast in the hobby, and you're still like, no, just screw this tube. Forget it.
Yeah, it's frustrating because I do have that big part of me that wants to keep everything authentic and like it was, but because it's not just for my house, it's operating in the store. Not everyone else is as delicate with it as I would be, and they really get put through the ringer sometimes, and it would be so much less hassle to just convert things to easier methods.
And probably consume less power too, right? Because tubes.
Yeah. Yep.
Eat a lot of juice.
Guzzlers.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could definitely see there's a lot of rationale, and probably LCD replacements are probably pretty cheap, I would guess.
They're not bad. You can get little converter boxes like off eBay for like $20 to $30, depending who you go through. And then finding like a little 19-inch LCD is like, you can find those around town. People just give those away sometimes.
Yeah, I'm sure. I can just use like old computer monitors and stuff, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, you just got to get a frame to stick mount them in the cabinet.
Okay. So how many have you done that with? I'm curious.
Just one so far. We kind of did a trial run because there's another like probably a dozen to 20 that we might think about doing it with if we can find some more LCDs for really cheap.
And how pleased were you with the result?
It's, you know, it pains me to play it. It plays better, plays more reliably, but it doesn't feel like an arcade game to me anymore. But your typical person that comes in doesn't care, especially if they're under 20. They really don't care. That's fine for them.
Does it feel almost like you're playing an emulator and not?
It does, even though everything else is the same. It does feel like I'm cheating and like something's not right there.
Like you're playing it on a MAME cabinet or something, huh?
Absolutely, yeah.
So what's the machine that you converted over? I'm curious.
It's just an old shoot 'em up called the Shura Blaster.
Oh, okay. I'm not familiar with it. I think I saw a picture of it once that you'd sent over, but...
It's really fun. Kind of like Sky Shark for the NES.
Okay.
It's like very, very simplistic shooter, which I really like.
Now, are you going to start getting like, okay, well, I really like this game better than that game, so I'm going to swap the tube into that one, then put the LCD in this other one, or what do you think?
No, it's more which ones we know are starting to give us problems, or that we fixed in the past and they're having problems again, or ones that it won't... Ones that are super, super popular and we transport a lot and use a lot at events and things, mm-hmm. if they're more reliable, then all the better for us.
And not weigh nearly as much, right?
Yeah. There's some, like, my TMNT still works really good. And the monitor's fantastic in it still. And I've had that one almost the longest now. So I don't know if I can bring myself to do that one, even though it is really popular and we use it at a lot of events. I kind of want to keep that one as long as I can, like it is.
Now, do you ever consider like, okay, well, maybe I'll swap it out, but I'll just pack the tube away so I can always restore it at some other point in time?
I don't know. That's what I'm in the process of figuring out right now, because we have 40 machines ballparking. Some that work, some that don't. We want to get all of them working, obviously. I feel like I should keep a handful of the really good monitors around just to swap out with those machines that I want to.
Yeah.
That's a lot of storage space, though.
It is. Expensive, right? I mean, it doesn't come for free.
I recently had to get a second storage locker because the first one is literally front to back full of arcade machines. And I had some chairs and stuff that I needed to put in storage recently. So I was like, I don't want to get rid of any arcade machines yet. So we bought another storage locker.
Yeah, I get it. Now, the place you have, right, you were going to have an arcade area, right?
Yeah, we do.
But so what is the idea? Is to expand that? Do you have more room or what's the deal?
No, it'd be nice to have, because there's a few machines that just don't get played. They're not exciting games. So get rid of those ones, either trade them or sell them off and replace them with more interesting machines. And have some in the side so it doesn't get stale. We can swap them out every few months so it's not the same game sitting there constantly. And when we go to events and things, we have surprises to bring. It's not always the same stuff they're seeing.
I had a friend that set up a barcade in Indianapolis. Maybe you should think about starting a second business.
I would love that. I have a couple friends who would be able to help me out with that because food and restaurants are definitely out of my wheelhouse. But
he doesn't serve food, just booze.
That's also outside of my wheelhouse. But I have many friends, I'm sure, would be willing to step up and help out in that area.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know. Like the whole, I've never been a drinker, and I've really, really pushed in the store that we have now that it's like a drug and alcohol safe environment for anyone to come and hang out kind of thing. There's so many places you can go in town to drink. I don't really want to mix those two things because they're so separate to me.
I got you. Personally. So it's a moral compunction? Is that it? Or
kind of like when I grew up, there was nothing to do in the town I grew up in. So I went to video games. Most other people went to drugs and alcohol.
Ah.
And it was still a huge problem in that town. I don't feel like being a part of that.
Okay.
I really like staying separate from it, as profitable as it might be.
Well, that's fine. No, I mean, I'm not trying to say one way or another. I'm just,
no, that even
I don't blame
like,
you. I mean, that's it. You got to sleep at night, right?
I've got a friend who operates most of the pinball machines in the Vancouver area.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps telling me, he's like, there's no one in Prince George. He's like, just lease some of your machines out to some of the pubs and the bars in town. Like you'll make a killing. And I just don't want to.
Well, Would you subcontract to somebody else if you just got the money and they did all the work?
No, it's not the work part. It's the okay. It's around alcohol part again. Okay,
no, that's fine. Yeah. I'm just trying to determine if it's if you can put a layer of separation between you and it, is it still a moral compunction, I guess?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I totally respect that. So there's a lot of things that are more important than money.
Yeah. I would love to have like some kind of restaurant set up. Like they might serve alcohol there too, but as long as it's like, you know, a family could come there and enjoy themselves.
Sure. Like a Chuck E. Cheese kind of thing with beer maybe, right?
Sure. Yeah. Like that wouldn't bother me at all. I have nothing against alcohol. It's just got so many outlets already in town. I feel like offering something different.
Sure. And maybe just don't want to, you know, be a hard liquor seller or something, right? I get that. Yeah. No, I get that. Okay. So again, so you're very involved in this. You got to deal with these tubes and everything. Have you taken the time to educate yourself in this, or is it an area of interest, or you're just like, this is just too much trouble. I don't want to fool with it.
No, it's usually just pick up the knowledge we need when we need it. This isn't working. Let's research this thing.
Okay.
Specifically. I have a friend who's helped me tinker with this stuff over the last few years, and he definitely digs deeper than I do. So when something comes up at the store, I give him a shout. I'm like, hey, do you remember reading about this? He's like, oh, yeah, I can pull that up again, and he'll re-research it and come in and help out. I actually want to send him down to Vancouver to get like a pinball 101 crash course with my buddy down there to help out with some of that side of things too. But he's definitely, I think he might be, he's 26 or 27 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can get him into that stuff, he might be one of those like really rare guys like 50 years from now that still knows how to work on a CRT when everyone else has died off.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm getting at is are we responsible for preserving this as a gaming group of people that like to play older games? Is that some charge that we have?
If we want it preserved, I don't think anyone else is going to step up, so I think we'd have to.
So how does that happen, do you think? Is it approaching people that have a lot of knowledge in the industry and saying, hey, will you share some of this and sit down? Is it, hey, I'm going to go see if we can – or does it have to happen just very organically, right? I mean, and I guess that's probably what happens now is maybe there's some forums or there's some, you know, whatever, right? Hobbyist groups.
Yeah. Probably has to be organic, right? Like people aren't going to – put that kind of effort in something they're not passionate about. As rare as it's going to be to find someone with that passion, I think they're still out there.
Right. But I mean, like I see, and I've not done this much homework, but you know, sometimes there's like websites that are so dedicated to like all of this information about this thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's anything out there like that that I've seen anyway for like just CRT repair and like, we're just going to collect every, you know, schematic and thing and have it available online as a research place. And do you know what I mean?
I'm making an assumption here, but just based on the one guy I mentioned earlier that used to work at the music repair shop, I've seen his like wall of TVs that he's collected. I'm assuming he has like a group he belongs to that does share that kind of information. I don't know how public it is or how big it is, but they've got to have some kind of network.
Yeah, I would think there has to be. There's probably websites dedicated to some of this stuff. But I guess that's it. I mean, we're gamers. We're not always necessarily like fixers, you know, like electronics technicians. That's not always in our wheelhouse. But
There's a small portion of us that do, but yeah, it's not expected.
No, but I mean, are we going to have to? I mean, like me, like I have no electronics background, but I've had to teach myself how to do basic electronics because the things I like to use require maintenance. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Comes with the territory.
Like, you know, you have, I guess you don't have to. I mean, you could sell, you could pay someone else to do some of these things, but I feel like most people can handle a lot of these small repair jobs if they want to take the time, right?
Yeah, like, especially the older stuff's not that complicated. From my experience, like we're trying to fix a Sega CD right now, and I think we figured it out within an hour. They're not
complex machines.
No, but I can see a lot of people are just kind of afraid to even tackle them, right?
Sure. I used to be terrified to touch anything electronics, but I don't know if you can figure out some way to get over that, or you just have to do it out of necessity. I think it opens up your eyes pretty quick that it's not as overwhelming as it seems at first.
Yeah, and you just maybe find yourself something that's already broken, and you're like, I can't break it any worse than it already is, right? It's already broken.
Exactly. Or if I break this thing, I'm out $4 I spent on it, like, because people are just throwing away TVs nowadays kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's,
I mean,
it's not a big investment if you want to buy a few to work on before you try and fix your fancy one.
And I've thought about that. I'm like, okay, maybe I should, you know, I see little ads from time to time, like, oh, I'm giving away a TV. It's this little small jobby if anybody wants it. I'm like, maybe I should, next time I see somebody getting rid of a little like 14 inch or something, I should grab it just to tear it apart and mess with it. You know what I mean?
That is exactly my thoughts. When my dad asked me to do that rear projection, it was like a free opportunity to see if I could do it. And if I didn't, I wasn't out anything other than the time I put into it.
Yeah, I think that's it. Because I was like looking at that, like the NES TV, and I'm like, wow, it'd probably be a really good idea to go through and like replace the capacitors in that thing and, you know, clean it up a little bit.
LCD mod it.
No. But you know what I'm saying, right? Kind of, yeah, absolutely. Make sure it is going to last. Because, you know, the electronics manufacturers didn't expect people to use these things for 30, 40, 50 years. They built them long enough to last past the warranty and a little more, right?
Yeah, it's got a Nintendo built into it, not a Super Nintendo. So it wasn't meant to live past much of the 90s.
But I mean, a lot of times they're like, well, you know, what was I chatting about the other day? I don't know, somebody, but basically you're like, you know, even things these days that are not that old, I mean, you know, they'll use parts that are just a few pennies cheaper. Like, okay, I've got to buy capacitors for this, I'll buy the ones that are 5 cents cheaper or something, just because when I make hundreds of thousands of them, that adds up.
Yeah, it's going to save me $1 million over a million units. Yeah.
Right, but even though that really compromises the longevity of that product, right?
Sure. Like these cheap cell phone screens.
When you drop them playing Pokemon Go, is that it?
That's exactly it.
I think they do that on purpose so you'll buy another phone, I think.
Yeah, I'm not falling for it. I'm going to use this cracked garbage until I can't anymore.
Until it cuts your fingers all up or something?
It's, I don't know, I'm afraid it might cut my ear soon, losing some chunks at the top here.
Oh, no. That's bad. You're going to have to treat yourself to a new phone and get insurance on it this time, I think.
Yeah, be fine.
But I guess that's it. I mean, I don't know. I guess you think about some of these people that you have to keep these old technologies alive, right? The people that still do blacksmithing or glass blowing. Nobody really needs that anymore, but we still want to keep that tech alive.
Never know when you're going to need a broadsword. Come on.
There's a Renaissance fair every year, right? But, you know, that's it. As people say, like, oh, I'm going to really embrace this old technology and learn it and carry it forward. And that's how I'm kind of looking at some of this. Because some of the degree, it's like some of that's what old gaming is, right?
Yeah.
Because you try, tell me, you try to get your kids to play it, right?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
Sometimes maybe they're thrilled, sometimes they're not.
The neighbor came over while I was playing Mega Man. Just like a little 9-year-old girl plays with my son on the same street.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I love these kind of games. My dad won't play them because he says they're way too ugly. We're not allowed to have them at our house.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. You got to go have a talk with that guy.
I have had several with him now.
Not changing his mind?
No, he's too into Destiny.
Oh, is he Bill's friend?
It's all he plays.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I've played a little Destiny. I've dipped my toe in the water.
Yeah?
Yeah, just, you know, to kind of play around with Bill a little bit. You know, I will never be as absorbed into those kind of games as he is or some other people are. You know, it's fun for me to play with him for a little bit, but, you know, I'm not going to sink a lot of time into it.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's not Mega Man.
True words were never spoken.
Absolutely. I don't know, but I guess that's just what's been rolling around in my mind is, you know, what does it look like? What's the future look like for this? And how does that impact the hobby? And because I see
it looks grim, dark.
Because you see products like, you know, like FrameMeister and something like mod consoles to work for newer displays. And
I think that's going to maybe make us lose some enthusiasts we would have got otherwise. Because there's other options. They don't have to necessarily keep those old technologies going.
Unless you want to play like light gun games or something. Really, you don't, right?
Yeah.
Very few things rely on having to have a CRT. Rob, light guns, Sega 3D glasses. Can't think of many others.
Laser scope.
The laser scope. The Sega Miniser, right?
Oh, yeah. Super scope.
God, that super scope. That was a terrible idea. Things are so gigantic.
Oh, they're amazing. Don't even.
Oh, man. Something that you could have made like the size of a pencil. Let's make it into a bazooka.
Exactly.
That's a
had to be
America.
Had to be cooler than whatever Sega was doing. Come on, you need a bazooka.
Oh man, the Miniser is basically like an Uzi or something. Or so. I mean, I don't know. It's just everything was. It was the '90s. Everything had to be very aggressive.
Yeah.
Couldn't just have something small and fun anymore. Yeah, I don't know, but I see like FrameMeister. Like a lot of people are getting like a FrameMeister, and I'll hook that up to my LCD TV so I can still use the old console, but it's on a new display. Or like we were chatting off air, so it's a good time to maybe bring up the AVS from Retro USB, right?
Yeah. Yeah, stuff like that like totally cuts out the need for CRTs.
Minus, you know, like again, like light gun games, but how many people are probably that worried about Duck Hunt or whatever?
It's a pretty small library. We get a ton of people in the store when they're buying an NES. We have so many Mario Duck Hunt cards that we pack them in with all of them. And just the look of disappointment when we tell them you can only play Mario on the TV you have at home.
Oh.
Every time. They're very sad. But they get over it pretty quick.
Maybe you need to start getting the TVs and be like, hey, an extra $5, I'll give you a TV. You can play Duck Hunt. So they can take it home, play it for 5 minutes, and throw it out.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, but yeah, like AVS or these consoles now or all these mods, it's getting to be very popular, which I totally get. There has to be workarounds just because the technology is what it is, you know. Everybody's going to want their NES in 4K HDR. let's see the NES Pro come out. But I guess that's it. I mean, I don't know if you had any other thoughts about that subject, but it's just been something that's been in my head a little bit.
No, I'm, like I said, arcade-wise, I'm torn. Operator versus enthusiast are clashing.
I'd be curious to hear from our listeners if we want to get some feedback what you guys think about this. And are you holding on to tubes? Have you decided, man, whatever, you know, I don't need this stuff anymore and it's just time to move on? Or, you know, is it nostalgia? Is it, or is it a better way to play? You know, whatever your opinions are, I'd be curious to hear that. All right. I guess, is there anything else before we wrap up?
Yeah, let's talk about your Nintendo game.
Oh, well, I don't know what's there to say. I got a Nintendo game.
it almost like ends your journey.
I know.
How long have you been collecting Nintendo games for?
Since I got an NES, I guess. To some degree, more or less.
So like what, 85, 86?
No, 87.
87?
Uh-huh. So almost 30 years.
Yeah.
God, that's so sad. That's so and you sad.
Finally are that kid who has all the games.
I am finally that kid, pretty much, that has all the games. Yeah. I'm sure some of the people that follow us know already, but I mean, I got Panic Restaurant from my friend Matt, which, thank you, Matt. I don't know if you're listening or not, but I appreciate you helping me out and doing that. He was kind of back and forth a little bit because I think he pretty much had a full set and didn't know. But he's been playing around with the idea of selling off for a while anyway. So he took the plunge and helped me out with that one. So very nice. I see him at least once a year at
that's a cool way to get your last game too from a buddy.
It is, right? It is. And Matt's a great guy. I see him at least every year at like Midwest Gaming Classic, and sometimes he comes up. He lives in Missouri. Runs a little, some flea market stuff that he does there too. But we worked something out. And he was having a little get-together. Well, he was at a get-together, the Nintendo Age Camp Out, which I'm sure you probably heard about.
Yep.
And John, my friend from here, was going, and he was wanting to know if I wanted to go, but it just didn't work out for me time-wise. But he picked it up for me when he was there and brought it back, and, you know, that's it. So it's a beaut. It's in great shape, and it's kind of weird. It's kind of fun in some respects to be done. I mean, it's kind of satisfying every time I look at prices now, and I'm like, or when I talk to Rich and he's still got two horrible ones to go.
Yeah. I hope I can help him out eventually, because yeah, those two are rough
and getting worse quickly, it seems like, right?
Ugh. Yeah, like every few months I'm like, we got to be at the plateau now, it's gonna stop. It just never does.
Isn't Samson somewhere around like $1,000 or something now?
Yeah.
Gee, many Christmas. That seems crazy to me.
When I bought it, it had one less zero on the end.
Yeah, I was going to say. Now. I mean, five, 6 years ago, it was $100?
Yeah, I bought it for $100, which was not a steal. That was just the regular going rate at the time.
And how many years ago was that?
Oh, that was my trailer. I think that would have been about 8 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably about right. I remember seeing it in a store for $100, and I kicked myself that I passed it up back then. But it was, at the time, I was like, whoa, that's way too expensive.
Yeah, that's not a deal at the time.
No, it wasn't. Like $70 was a deal at the time.
It was still the third most expensive NES game, and that's what you had to pay for it if you wanted it.
Yeah, but it's just gone so crazy here lately. And I have to thank Matt a lot, because he gave me... He was very nice about it. He's, you know, when I asked him about it, and he goes, okay, I'm going to do this. And I said, okay, well, what do you want? You know, and he said, well, you know, I want it to be a fair price. You know, let me know what you think. And I said, well, you know, I want to pay you. You know, I'm not trying to get this thing cheap or something. And he goes, well, I tell you what, it has to be at least this and no more than that. And which was still very, very fair. And I said, well, how about it's that? So... it's nice when people like that, you can, you know, it's good to have friends in the community.
Yeah. I had a friend recently, we do favors for each other all the time. Sure. And he does, security installs for people around town, and he was at someone's house and noticed a like immaculate condition Super Nintendo box.
Ooh.
And he goes, ooh, and he starts talking to the guy about it. And then he's like, well, look at this. And he pulls another box out, and it's just full of boxed games.
Oh.
Like, and they're like cellophanes just slid across the top.
No.
Game played once, put back into the baggie and everything.
Wow. Like,
these things are great. And so he buys them all off of him.
Of course.
And he comes and shows me right after. He's got his trunk just like full of these amazing box systems and games and accessories and stuff. And he's like, what do you want? Just like, you know, take a few. Like, I feel like I, and I'm like, no, you, this is your first big score. And like, as long as I've known you, like, charge me for these things.
Yeah.
So I paid him what he paid the guy to grab like 7 or 8 games off him. And then he still had like, 40 games of his own. And he sold the two consoles for like, $500 total, I think, right away. And so he was up like $500 off the bat, got to keep a whole bunch of games, got a condition upgrade a whole bunch of games, got some really cool trade items. I got some really amazing condition upgrades too, and it was awesome.
That's fantastic when those things happen. And that, everything pays to know people, that's for sure.
I might go for a full complete in box Konami set now.
Really?
Because I got Castlevania 3 and Super C off of that lot, and so the last big one I need is that Turtles 3, and I think I've got pretty much the rest of the silver box set now.
Okay. All right. You need to get, you're going to be like Bill, and you have to import some of these silver boxes we didn't get.
I already have Pro Projectors. I need some silent service stuff.
Oh, sure. There you go. And there's no, I don't think that was silver box. Metal Gear. That's it.
Oh, yeah. And Turtles 2 had a silver box over there, too.
Oh, so there you go. Now you've got the bug. Is that it?
Ugh, kind of. I've been into Super Nintendo boxes so hard for the last year that it's kind of moving over into NES boxes, too.
That's yeah, you said one of those boxes I got recently you need. So remind me about this N64 yeah. box or something, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're still there.
I got a really rare box the other day, actually. I came into the store. Complete in box Chiller.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Super pumped on
Which
that.
Which version cool was it?
Gray version.
Okay, okay.
Or the, yeah.
Not the share data version.
No.
Wow. That's, and just walked in the door, huh?
Yeah, like, nice little old lady came in with a whole bunch of box stuff. We ended up, she ended up walking out with like $1,000.
Dang.
She had some good stuff.
Yeah, I bet she probably didn't have any clue that she was going to walk out with that much money, did she?
No, she had a little bit of an idea because one of my friends actually did some deals with her on Kijiji. And he, super good guy, but holy cow, does he get too aggressive when it comes to retro games.
He
rubs people the wrong way trying to get the best deal he can.
Ouch, yeah.
So he burnt that bridge, but she knew what she had because of him. And yeah, so she brought it in knowing she had some really decent stuff in there and seemed happy with the price we gave her.
Yeah, I just ran into something like, you know the guy that I always buy stuff off of?
Oh, yeah, you get all the consoles from...
Yeah, he was telling me about he almost sold me, and I said, why on earth did you talk to me? But he let a Snow Brothers go for $100.
Whew. That's a really good deal. That's like less than half price.
Yeah, I know. And I said, why did you not call me? And he goes, well, this guy was really bugging me about it. And I'm like, and you don't like
bug him more.
Money? It's, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't need it. I would have sold it. But I mean, I would have given you more than $100 for it.
Yeah.
Because I could sell it, you know, and make some cash. Yeah, anyway. Some deals you get, some deals you don't. Well, like that. Broadband adapter on the GameCube, right? He sold that, and that was one of the lots he sold me. He's like, you know, here's some. I think I probably paid a couple dollars for that GameCube.
Yeah,
so
that's fantastic.
Yeah, I just and I didn't even notice when I was there until I turned it over and look on the bottom. I'm like, oh, look at that. That's kind of nice. I might get it. So if you know, if I get rid of it, you got first dibs on it. So
thank you, thank you.
No, you're welcome.
I only need 15 more of them to have the ultimate Mario Kart setup then.
Is that how many? Can you network 16 of those things?
Apparently. And then when you're doing Double Dash, because you know how you can have each person in their own cart?
Yeah, yeah.
They can have their own screens too.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if that's ever even actually been pulled off.
I've seen one picture of a setup.
Really?
It was like early 2000s, but yeah.
That's crazy, because how much do those retail for? They weren't cheap, right? Weren't they like $50 or something?
50, $60, I think.
Yeah. Could you imagine you bought 16 of those puppies?
Yeah. If everyone bought their own. That's what we did when we all wanted to play like Four Swords. We'd all buy a GBA, and we all spent like $200
to play to get the connector.
Zelda. Yeah. So between all of us, we spent like $800 or $900 to play Zelda, but it was only 200 a person.
That's true. Now, I've seen a couple of the broadband ones. I've never seen the modem. Have you?
Not in person, no.
No, I've never seen... I mean, I know they made them, but I've never seen the modem. So I'm sure somewhere somebody's got one. But I remember seeing the broadband adapter before at GameStop when they were clearancing some GameCube stuff out, used. But I don't think I've ever seen the modem. Anyway, we're going in some weird places. that's fun. Hey, it's a collecting show. That's what you're going to get.
Yeah, so congratulations, though, man. That's a
Thanks.
Big, long journey.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't think I'll ever take the last step, but...
it kind of feels like you have.
I think as far as I want to go with it.
Yeah, I'm sure if one falls into your lap, you'll take it.
Yeah, but I'm not. Yeah, yeah, I'm not going to go for that. And yeah, it's kind of like...
You can still plug away at imports and homebrews and unlicensed, and there'll be other stuff.
Yeah, but that's it here lately. I'm like, wow, I don't really have much of anything to look for. So,
yeah.
I mean, just kind of like, oh, I'll just look around a little bit, but.
Yeah. I got that Sunday fun day from
Oh, yeah, that came out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Chris sent you that, huh?
He did, and I haven't added a new unlicensed game in a while either, or just an NES game I didn't have. So
now, wait a minute. You did get a pretty cool one recently.
What did I get recently?
Your Samurai cart.
Oh, yeah. That I kind of consider an oddity. It's not on my list, you know.
It doesn't have the right flag. Is that?
Yeah, it doesn't have the right flag. Yeah, I got the Indian version of Rad Racer.
That's pretty cool, though, right? I've not seen one of those samurai cars before.
No, I haven't seen one in person either. It was pretty unique. And same thing, it was one of those unfortunate things where I wasn't there when the trade-in happened, and my staff just thought it was a like Chinese pirate, and the person didn't get much, and we didn't know who they were. But I snuck it home.
Now, have you bothered to try to look? Is there even any sales information about that you could find, like what it's worth or anything, or no?
I haven't looked, no. I
just a curiosity,
don't plan to
right?
sell it, yeah, so I didn't, yeah. Unless I'm buying something, I usually don't look up the values.
Yeah, no, I get that completely. I was just kind of curious if you had any idea, because you said, you know, you didn't give much for it, so
yeah,
I was kind of curious.
Every game's blowing my mind lately. I've been looking for that Hiro Tanma for TurboGrafx for a little while now, and somebody I was talking to on Nintendo Age about it.
Yep.
And I made him, he's got one. He's like, I don't plan on selling it, but if the offer is significant, I could let it go.
Right.
My offer wasn't significant enough for him. And then he pointed out, he's like, TurboGrafx, like weird things are happening right now. He's like, Bonk 3, complete in box, just sold for like $1,200 US.
What?
I was like, what are you talking about? And because I assumed it was still like a $200 to $300 game.
Yeah.
Sure enough, I look it up. Yeah, it's paid and feedback's left and everything. And
wow.
It's just weird.
That's crazy.
Everything's going insane lately.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to get a Turbo Everdrive and play all the flash cart. I got to give it to you. Maybe you need to wrap it up faster than you think you need to wrap it up. Huh?
Yeah, I have one more lead on a Tanma, and it's really frustrating because he responds to me, and I'm like, sweet, just send me a picture. I'll send you an offer. That's been going on since May.
Oh, wow.
And he still responds to me. He just will not send me the damn picture.
Are you ever think like, man, I'll just forget it. I'll just eBay it.
They don't show up on eBay is the problem.
Not often. No. Have you seen
like
any while you've been looking?
Once a year.
Yeah.
No. There's tons of Japanese ones. There's never North American ones.
Yeah, I would imagine. And you need that one and what other one?
I need that one. I need five more.
Oh, okay. I thought you were down to a couple. Okay. So what's the others? So our listeners, if you know where these are at, let us know. So what's the others?
Yeah. Legend of Hiro Tanma.
Okay.
That's the big one. Celine Darkwing Duck.
Okay, yeah.
Summer Assault. The Atlas game.
Okay. I don't know that one at all.
Boxy Boy.
All right.
Boxy Boy. And here's the weird one that I should have had long ago, but I still for somehow have not found, is Space Harrier.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I've got the PC Engine version of that, so it's not good.
It's snuck in there, but I shouldn't have it by now at this point. Yeah, but
it's not a good port.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll have some good tunes though, right?
It's not a good port.
Ugh. All right.
Play the Genesis version if you want to play Space Harrier.
Expectations low.
Yeah, I know. I got it. Like, when I first got my PC Engine, I just didn't have anything to even test it with. So that was the first game I bought because it was, like, nothing shipped from Japan just to get the card.
Yeah.
You knew. It's kind of disappointing. But, you know, hey, it's Space Harrier. It kind of reminds me of, like, the Master System version. So if you've played that, you kind of know what to expect.
I have, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. So, listeners, if you hear that stuff, obviously nobody, because Krabby doesn't exist on any social media, but you can send a tweet or hit us up on Facebook. I will make sure he somehow finds that stuff out. Let's get you across the finish line and see if that can happen. But
yeah.
What after that? Are you done? Is that the deal?
Yeah, that'd be North American TurboGrafx Hue Card Library.
But, I mean, are you like, oh, I got to do CD now, or...
Yeah, I'm already halfway there. Might as well keep going.
Okay.
There's a couple crazy ones on there too, of course, but
of course, yeah.
I got one of the big ones out of the way, but there's still like three other bigger ones.
Yeah, I would imagine there's. I haven't really looked at that library very much, but I would imagine there's probably some crazy stuff in there.
For the most part, not terrible. But then there's like Super Airzonks a lot, Terraformings a lot. There's that weird. It's like California Campout or something like that. It's a ton, and then it never shows up, that one.
Well, now, were those the ones that were kind of released when that one company kind of bought up the rights to everything?
I'm not sure. I think maybe with that Camp California game.
Yeah.
I think there's something weird around that release because it's just never around for sale.
Yeah, because there was this company that just basically took over TurboGrafx sales in the U.S. after NEC was like, we're out.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the name, it was Turbo or something like that. I remember the ads, right, that were on a lot because they had a lot of Zonk ads that was
yeah.
On there. Anyway.
I'd like to get Super Air Zonk. That one, I think it would be fun as well as expensive.
And that's just basically a souped-up version of Air Zonk, right?
Yeah, there's a few ports like that. Like there's a Bonk 3 for both CD and Hue card.
Yeah, I'll just burn the CDs and play them, but I'll let you go.
Thanks.
You know, I just, I've, after completing an NES library, I've kind of gone back to those, like, I just want to play this. And so there's a couple of these games lately that I've picked up is, I just want to play this. And
so you're going to dig a little deeper into Famicom too?
Yeah, I mean, I think I still, once I get the, I'm going to take just a resting period, I think, for a little bit. But
yeah, that's very fair.
I think, yeah, I would like to do some Famicom lots again and just kind of dig through some of that. I can't see. I mean, I've been trying to pick up like Super Nintendo games I really want to play when they're decently priced.
They are never decently priced.
Yeah, be surprised. I mean,
I was trying to get Ninja Warriors recently. Mm-hmm. Like a local Facebook auction site.
Yeah.
Really, really nice looking copy.
It's a fun game.
I put in a bid like more than eBay, saying like it's local. I won't have to pay for shipping. I know the guy. I know it's legit. And then someone just totally outbid me like last second. Like, so hard. Like it wasn't even like, I'll throw another $5 ahead of him. He was just like, I'm going to jump you by like $50.
Well, he just wanted it. He just wanted it.
Yeah. That was so it. He got it. So now I'm salty about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you know the guy that won it?
No, he lives in the province over.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Yeah. I got that, Street Fighter Alpha 2 basically for like $2. So
yeah,
you know, nice. You can find deals sometimes.
Totally.
Got playing that though. I was playing it. Just remembered why I did not want to play that again.
You don't like the loading?
Oh my gosh. So bad. It's so bad, especially after playing the Saturn like port of. I've been playing 03 on Saturn.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh, so good.
Oh, Saturn prices too.
It's a burned copy, but it's an import. I mean, it's not a U.S. game, so I don't feel bad. But yeah, Saturn prices. That's the thing that's gotten me. And I've got some of these games. I've been like, man, maybe I need to sell. But then I think, wait, I'll just wait, and the prices are going to get crazier.
Yeah.
I mean, what was it that earlier today? Was McMetal Froze like, oh, Shining Wisdom is the shop. It's like $150. I'm like, that's to 100. I've got that. That's $150 now.
Yeah. It's.
I paid $30 for that.
Everything on the Saturn that is decent to play or good, it's worth a ton of money. There's like no cheap good games on there.
Yeah. I don't, You
want something fun, you got to dish out the money.
I'm glad I've got most of the games I actually want to play.
Yeah, on that system. I don't intend to go for a complete set there, but I've got pretty much all the stuff I'd ever want to play on it, which I'm thankful for.
Yeah, too many Christmas. I mean,
I think I might try and complete Dreamcast, Virtual Boy, TurboGrafx.
Dreamcast wouldn't be too bad. There's not that many heavy hitters.
No, and I'm mostly done. I'm only missing like two games that are somewhat big, and they're like less than $100 big.
Yeah, because you already have like Canon Spike, right?
Yeah, I've got 80% of the library already.
Yeah, I would imagine. Because I mean, is there anything higher than Canon Spike?
Giga Wing 2 is one that I'm missing that
I could see
it's getting way up there. Oh, never mind. It's well over $100 now. I just looked it up. It's closer to $200. I didn't see that coming.
And what's Canon Spike going for now? 100, 150?
Canon Spike.
This is the point where people are like, wow, you probably should stop recording. You're just BSing
you,
now.
You nailed it. Yeah, it's right around there.
150?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably what I figured, because last time I paid attention, it was around 100. I wouldn't buy it, but it's just kind of an odd game.
Yeah.
But I will tell you what, playing some of these, I don't mind burning a couple games, that, especially some of these imports that we didn't get here, and playing them. There's some great stuff on Saturn, man. Awesome stuff.
I actually have a whole bunch of imports I haven't really got to dig into yet. I've got a Japanese system, and like a stack of like 30 games all Japanese too.
Really? Well, if you get it, I don't know if you have it or you get a chance to play it, but Street Fighter Alpha Zero, you know what I'm saying, right? Yeah.
I don't think that's
the last version of that. It is fantastic. You have to have a RAM cart, but I mean, arcade port, perfect.
Nice. So. Nice.
All right. Well, thanks everybody very much for taking the time to listen. Before we go into the spiel, I want to say thanks to James Fox. He took the time to give us a little donation. So thank you very much, James. We appreciate that. If you would like to donate to the show, I mean, even a couple bucks like James here that sent over, I mean, we appreciate all that. Helps pay some of the bills. You can do that. Just hop over to collectorcast.com. There's a PayPal donate button on there. Want to throw a few rupees our way. You know, that's always nice. We appreciate that. Where can people find us, Crabbo?
RF Generation.
Yeah, RF Generation.
Always around there.
Yeah, come catalog your collection. Join us on the forums if you're not already over there. Come say hi. Where else?
YouTube.
YouTube. I do keep putting all this stuff on YouTube. We have some loyal people that check it out on there, so we appreciate that. A couple other places?
Stitcher.
We are still on Stitcher. We don't get a lot of listeners on Stitcher, but we're there.
We are there.
We are.
Podomatic's the main download source, though, right?
Yeah, it's Podomatic. Collectorcast.com will take you to our Podomatic page. You can get to that. We might be moving around at some point in time if we can get that stuff worked out. But for right now, you know, for the foreseeable future, you can definitely find us there. Even if we do move around a little bit, I'll make sure collectorcast.com points you in the right direction. So you can always just keep an eye on that. And I put us on the Google Play store. So if you use Google Play, you can find the show on that. If you're an Android user, I guess would probably be the people for that one. If you're still on Zune...
We're still on that store?
Bill told me his father-in-law still gets us through his Windows phone. So, you
impressive.
Know, I don't, however that works, it's awesome.
I did not see that one outlasting the podcast pickle.
Yeah, that's sad, isn't it? But yeah, just feel free to do us a favor. Give us a hey. If you want to get us on the iTunes store and give us a thumbs up or a little review, we definitely appreciate that. Always want to say thanks very much to our sponsor, Chris at otcvideogames.com. I should tell you guys, you know, follow us on social media, you know, Twitter, Facebook. Chris was really nice. He offered a special discount deal to our listeners recently. Even did like a free shipping to Canada deal over a certain amount. Which
never happens from does, anywhere. Yeah. That is unheard of.
Never happens. And I think it was only like $100 or something. Like if you bought over $100, it was free shipping to Canada. And
I don't know. I bought from him a couple of times. It's always over $100 because I'm like, oh, I need one of those. Need one of those. Need one of those.
Yeah. Good store. Good stuff.
Cart fills up pretty quick.
Yeah. OTCvideogames.com. If you're coming to Retro World Expo, Chris is going to be there. So make sure you say hi. You'll see us. We'll make sure you go over there and say hello. But he treats us really well. We really appreciate having him on board with that. And I guess it'll be the last time we do a show before Retro World. So hopefully I'll see some of you there. And we'll do a little catching up when we come back.